The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Live from Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis, this is PFW in Progress.
Fires the flag. Sideline, it is caught, he got bridge, five, end zone, touchdown, smooth show, my oh my. Snap, Tebow, back to throw, here comes the roll,
get it,
down he goes, yes. We're back at about the 9 or 10 yard line. Tebow back to throw, he spins out of a hit, starts to run with it to the left, now he gets ground, oh, and he is just flat from the backside, what a massive hit by Sean Ellis. Brady will quick kick it. And now,
oh, we got a penalty.
Oh, yeah. Coming after the Patriots. And that's going to be it. Patriots walking out of Foxborough's Gillette Stadium with a thunderous 45-10 blasting of the Denver Broncos. Looks being rushed. Going to be spit and sacked. Vincent Wilfork had him first. He got away, and Mark Anderson wrapped him up. Inside handoff to Dean Ellis. Tracked him right up the middle and into the end zone. Touchdown. Brady leaps into the end zone. Touchdown.
There's some car wrecks going on down here, guys. I know you can't hear them up there, but this is a physical game.
Flacco, over the middle it goes, and it's intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35. A 37-yard attempt for Billy Kunda from the near side hash. Snap, ball down, kick up, kick in.
He hooked it, no good, no good. He missed it. Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
They're going easy.
Patriots Nation, welcome to Super Bowl 46.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here for the last word before the big game. Fred's here, Eric's here, Andy's here, Paul's here, Kevin's here, Matt's back in the studio back at Gillette Stadium. We're live from Indianapolis, the team hotel, just outside the city proper, but within walking distance, and that's what we've been doing all week. We've been doing a lot of hoofing back and forth to downtown Indianapolis, but it's all good. We needed our exercise.
Yeah, we've been eating a lot this week, so we definitely needed the exercise.
Absolutely. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. In this special Saturday edition of PFW in Progress, we figured we'd do this because, you know, there's no pregame social tomorrow. So we'll call this the pregame social. And
special Saturday edition.
Special Saturday edition. And get your last thoughts before the Patriots take on the Giants.
Is this the first ever Saturday PFW in Progress?
I believe it is.
It's a memorable show then.
Well, no.
Well, PFW in Progress, yes. We have had a Saturday pregame social,
right.
A couple of them actually.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Denver was a Saturday.
That's true.
Game.
That's true.
All right, let's get right into it.
Okay.
Earlier in the week, we had some emailers and we had some people speculating, little grumblings or rumblings and rumors about Bill Belichick. The possibility that the end could be near. Well, that was brought to the forefront when he was asked about that, Fred Kirsch, at his Friday press conference / photo op, the one where they, you know, are next to the Lombardi Trophy. And for the record, Bill Belichick did not even pause to take a photo with the Lombardi Trophy.
Right. He never does.
But he was asked if I think he's about to celebrate his 60th birthday coming up. If he were to win his fourth Super Bowl over the Giants on Sunday, would this be a potential time for him to walk away?
Right.
And Bill said, you know, I love my job. You know, a long, long answer. Love my job. Love every aspect of my job.
Didn't answer the question.
But did not directly answer the question. And some people are lumping this whole idea in with the whole demeanor question. Why is he a little more laughable and funny and having so much time and, you know, blah, blah, blah this week. So I would like to lump this into the great debate part two.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Beforehand.
Okay.
If you know
that
Bill Belichick was going to walk away Monday or Tuesday morning,
yes.
Do you want to win on Sunday, or would you rather lose the Super Bowl and know that he would decide, I can't go out not on top, and stay?
See, I believe, well,
I want him to win.
I want him to win on Sunday.
I have a problem with the premise, though, because...
Oh, what are you, the commissioner?
Yeah.
No, because...
I don't agree with your premise.
But so basically you're saying, would you rather win a Super Bowl Sunday or next year or the year after?
Would you rather have Bill Belichick stay and lose the Super Bowl, or Bill Belichick leaves because you won the Super Bowl?
I'd rather win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would too.
Me too.
But I have a problem with the premise. Three. And again, if someone's just coming in, we have no basis for this, okay?
No, other than circumstantial.
Yeah, let's just be clear.
And somebody did ask
the
question.
But here's what I'll say. If he is doing that if they win, he's doing it if they lose too. I don't think that...
I kind of agree with you, Fred.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
But if it does happen, I agree with you.
Right. He's decided, win or lose, this is it. So that's why I have a problem with this great debate. I was ready for a good one, but I don't think this one has as much legs as the...
I was just wondering from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
But would you be willing to take a Super Bowl at the cost?
I would be.
Don't
sell
Andy
eventually
short,
he's going to do it.
Right.
And when he does it, you hope you won. So let's win and get it over with.
Go out on top.
Yeah. Because
there's no guarantee you'd get back.
Exactly.
You know, he's going to retire between now and when he's 70.
See, right. That's
so
why.
In the next 10 years.
And there's no guarantee if he stays, he'd get back. So
and that would, that's what
right.
makes it a little it. Different than,
right.
than
so
the
Andy's
Brady one.
So Andy's finally coming back to the correct answer on the
no,
real
you
great
idiot.
Debate.
That's incorrect. Right. It's a much different debate.
It is a very much different debate.
No, that's settled business. But this is
no, it isn't.
This is new.
And the other issue we need to get to is you.
About?
So I get an email from Adam Schefter.
Hey, Kevin, this is hot in my ear. I don't know.
Why don't you lower the volume a little bit?
I did, but then I can't hear.
Yeah, now I can't hear anything.
Right.
Hello, can you hear me
so
now?
It's a little hot.
I am hearing you all wonderfully.
Crackling.
I got a tweet from Adam Schefter that said, 34 ESPN analysts make their Super Bowl pick. 17 take the Patriots, 17 take the Giants.
Yeah, I
so everybody's picking the Giants, Fred.
Let me tell you something.
Now, really?
I've been
completely quiet on this subject, and you have to bring
topic.
It up.
It's a good topic.
7 whole minutes. Eric is impressed with me.
I am.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but now that
oh,
you did.
Oh, shut up.
Well, there was a huge thing on ESPN.com yesterday, and I showed it to everybody except for Fred, because Fred, by the way, we should point out, was busy on Radio Row.
Yeah,
right.
Fighting with some Giants dude
getting
who
in
seemed
a fight
like a real
with a Giants
dink.
Guy.
I'm trying my best to.
On NFL.com,
he backed
right,
down. I don't know who. It was a guy who was from WFAN in New York, and he was.
Opening, though?
Yeah, he was a typical radio
what
guy.
What a disaster.
Before we went, do you remember his name?
No, I don't.
No.
But you smacked him around pretty good,
no,
Freddie.
He was a typical radio guy. He talked into his mic.
Right. Right. Well, I'm used to having the lavalier. But anyway,
the lavalier.
But before we went on air, he says to me and the host Dave Damashek from NFL. There is no way the Giants are losing this game. So I'm thinking to myself, okay. You know, I didn't say anything at that point. I go, okay, I'm going with this guy.
You it's know? Go time.
You know, so and I tried to bait him into it with the whole flopping thing that happened in November, and he wouldn't go there. He, you know, he wasn't backing up his team, and he didn't say that while he was on the air. I think the Giants are going to win, no problem. But Dave Damashek, who was hosting, said everybody's picking the Giants. That's what he said. That's the impression. Now, whether it might be wrong.
I think you're the one who's giving everyone that impression.
It's not just me. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you what the stuff on ESPN was saying. And it doesn't mean it's everybody. But there was a thing yesterday, and Mike Reese had a link on ESPNBoston.com. It was, Eric, help me out with the numbers. 35 out of 63?
That's,
pick
yes,
the Giants.
35 out of 63.
And that's 55%. Now, Adam Schefter tweets out something where he has some – I don't know if it's the same guys or –
It was all the major
that,
guys. I mean, it was
17
Clayton,
out
was
of 34.
Everybody.
I mean, I agree with you, Fred. A lot of people are picking the Giants. I've said that to you from day one. I feel like there's a lot of Giants love. It's just not universal the way you're making it out to be.
Look, it's not literal. Not
no,
everybody.
It's pretty much split.
It's getting closer to 50% every minute closer to the
I
Super
think
Bowl.
Okay,
we're used
to everybody picking the Patriots. That's the thing.
Right.
Now it's like half and half, or
but,
maybe it's closer to 55 in favor of the Giants.
Maybe I'll say it this way. And the people who are picking the Giants are louder about it.
Maybe.
I think so. I think they're more
but,
boastful
about it. But, I mean, there are some pretty big-name guys like Adam Schefter who are picking the Patriots.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys like that.
Don't you think your ears are maybe just listening a little more
don't
to the ones who pick the Giants? That
don't you hear a little bit more about some of those guys than, like, Marshall Faulk?
Right. But the people who are picking the Giants are louder
about
it.
I don't buy that.
I think so.
You just hear them.
It's like this
it's
guy.
It's you. It's your ears.
It's like
you're
this
tuned
guy
in.
Yesterday. There's no way the Giants are going to lose this game.
Well, that guy was a dink.
But that's a guy who works for the Giants.
Well, I'm not saying that, and I work for the Patriots.
But you think it, but we're...
I don't think
you just,
that.
You're just afraid because...
You don't think?
You're under this false impression that if you say that, it's going to affect the game.
There's no way
I know that you think they're going to kill him.
No,
I know
I don't.
I've been talking to you all week.
Eric says that. I don't think that. Honestly, I think that this is an even game.
But if Eric were going on NFL.com, he wouldn't be saying, going into that, there's no way the Patriots
lose
this game.
Well, if he believes
that. He feels that.
Well, then he should say it.
But we don't talk like that.
Why not?
The four of us don't really act like that.
If you truly believe it, you should say it.
Do you truly believe the Patriots are going to win?
I think
they're
going to
win. Of course
you do. But
we'll make
picks at the end of the show, Paul. I think that there's no way they're going to lose. No, I don't think that. I'm sorry. I don't think that. I think there's a lot of ways they're going to lose.
I'm saying...
And a lot of ways you're going to win.
I'm saying
Fred covering all the bases.
You only get one chance at each.
I don't think that you would ever, under any circumstances, do what that guy did yesterday in that
I wouldn't do
venue.
It.
You wouldn't do that.
But
you wouldn't have done that heading into the Denver game, and you knew there was no way they were going to lose the Denver
game. In 07, I would have.
You wouldn't.
Yes, I
did. Don't think you would have. I think
I
too,
did.
I'm not trying to be patronizing, but I think you're too classy to do that. I don't think you would have done that.
If I truly
have you met Fred?
If I truly believe it, I say it.
I know you would truly believe it. I don't think you would go on before the radio show to a guy that you've never even seen before that you know works for the other team and say, there's no way the Patriots lose this game.
Well, maybe,
I don't think you would do that.
No, maybe not to him.
Well, if you were a man, I would
punch
you right
there. I wouldn't do that. And the guy's name, by the way, thanks to VIP strippers, is Paul Dottino.
Yeah, I mean, that's being an a-hole.
Yeah,
he was an a-hole.
That's being a jackass.
Exactly.
So Paul Dottino was the guy I was on with, and like – he came.
That's being a jackass.
Before we went on air, he was just like blah 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 blah. And I was just sitting there and like, okay, this is gonna be good. But what the guy did is he turned the tables. He was very clever, Dave Damashek. Instead of us talking for our teams, he made us talk against our team. So each one of us had to say how our team's going to lose.
And you have millions of ways.
Fred went on for 25 minutes.
Now, well, Fred, do I want to know, did you give him the look down the imaginary spectacles that you often give us? When you
no, but I did give him, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the presidential debates. I've watched every one. Mitt Romney's very clever when he does the debates. Whenever someone is speaking other than him, he looks right at them. So the person who's speaking knows that he's staring at him.
He's
while
engaging
they're speaking.
Them. Right,
that's
yeah.
what I did to him.
You did, huh?
Yeah, I stared to him.
Gave him the death stare.
And I kind of muttered under my breath, "You mother."
Forget what I said about that classy right.
So it was good. Radio Row was crazy. When I first got there, Tebow had just shown up.
Oh, God.
And the place was literally buzzing. As if the biggest rock star had just shown up.
You'd think a real quarterback showed up.
Well, everybody that was there was better for having gone through the experience.
They ran out of Gatorade. He turned Gatorade from water into Gatorade. It was unbelievable.
I mean, the water into Gatorade, I think, is what you were trying to say.
Literally, the day before I was there, and Philip Rivers was there. Yeah. He's not only a good NFL quarterback, aside from some issues this year, but a very proven good NFL quarterback. He's also a finalist for the NFL Man of the Year Award. And no buzz. No buzz at all.
Right.
And this guy who can't throw, there's buzz.
He showed up. And then Adam Sandler came in, and that was a big buzz. Everybody was following him around.
Now, will they change the name of the Man of the Year Award from Walter Payton to
probably,
Tim Tebow?
Probably.
They might. Yeah.
Did you guys hear about what happened when Tebow hit Radio Row?
No.
So apparently Joe Montana was on Radio Row as well. And they cut him short on one of his interviews to get to Tim Tebow.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
If I were Joe Montana, I would have thrown a hissy. Literally.
I don't know if that's a fact, but I've heard that from a couple different places that
that's
they cut
ridiculous.
Montana
wow.
short to get to Tebow.
I'm not surprised because it was a complete mob scene.
Well, the other thing too is Montana is only there to shill for something.
I don't care. He should be allowed to do that.
But
when
he's
you're
not,
that good,
he's not just talking
when you're the
about
greatest that.
That
ever played, you're allowed to do that. Tim Tebow has earned nothing in the NFL. Nothing. Zero. Less than nothing.
Well, that's interesting you say that, Paul, because before I went on, it was Adam Sandler was on. And then Clay Matthews came on, and
were you on this? You mean the same set?
Yeah, and so the girl comes
really
over.
Slumming it in Fred's segment,
right? So the girl comes over, and I go, oh well, you know, Adam Sandler, Clay Matthews, and Fred Kirsch, and I go, but at least I'm not shilling for Head and Shoulders. They wouldn't have me.
Good,
do that.
Matt.
That's what Fred and I should be. Head and Shoulders.
Good, Andy.
That just came to me.
And it would be Fat Head and Shoulders.
Right.
Though.
That's it. Good. Excellent.
We're gonna have to ditch you two because you don't fit in our name for our show.
We'll figure something out. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Should get to the news of the day.
Which is?
Well, just that, you know, they're not practicing today. They are over at Lucas Oil Stadium shooting their
team photo.
They're going to have a little bit of meetings, but they really kind of wrapped up the week yesterday with a walkthrough. You know, they didn't really practice. Gronkowski was out there, but it was a jog through, quote unquote. And they, you know, as Tom Coughlin doesn't like to say, the hay is in the barn,
right,
so to speak, for the Patriots.
And I did a radio hit this morning.
He was a half hour late bringing me here because of it.
We were a little late. Technical issues back at the other end there.
Half hour.
But I think it was advantageous for the Patriots to have come here on Sunday, given the fact that so many of them were dealing with cold and flu-like symptoms this week, because they were able to get the full pads practice in on Monday. They were able to get their work in on Wednesday, so they could take, even if they wanted to practice today, they could have the luxury of not doing so, which Bill Belichick obviously elected to do, because they already got so much work in already during the week. And they could take this, you know, last night, today, rest up and try to get their energy back from having been, hit with this sick bug this week.
Right. You know, and if people are wondering, oh, now that we're, you know, 36 hours away or whatever the hours are, you know, have things tightened up? Has it become more businesslike? The answer is no. It really hasn't. I mean,
loosey-goosey.
It really hasn't. I don't think the Patriots are moving from the hotel tonight.
No.
I think they're going to stay where they are.
That was one of the great debates yesterday.
Yeah.
After the Giants answered the question, the Giants are on paper.
Yeah.
But after Bill answered the question as to whether they were leaving the hotel or not, the great debate was whether they were leaving or not.
Right.
I thought it was clear as day they were staying.
I agree with Andy. I didn't think there was
any. Then everybody was breaking down the transcript and what he said. And I don't know what the transcript says, but I was there, and there was no doubt in my mind he said, we're staying.
Yeah. They haven't tightened up. They're here to enjoy the week and then play a football game.
They're just happy to be here.
No, it's not like that. I don't want to.
He's not saying they're taking. They're just taking it nonchalantly.
No, but
they,
you know how this goes. If you win, you were loose and confident. If you lose, you didn't take it seriously.
I think the preparation is the same as it would have been for any other game,
agreed,
including the Super Bowl. I think the preparation's there. You don't have to worry about that. But it is a different atmosphere.
As you've said plenty of times, Andy, since Super Bowl 42, they weren't a loose bunch. They were very uptight.
Clearly, we see now that Bill listens to our show, and he's taking that into account.
Well,
he sees what I see. I mean, he and I were eye to eye.
I'd rather they be loose than too uptight like they were the last time.
As long as they win.
Well, sure.
Because loose and losing isn't much better than uptight and losing.
No, but
well, that's why I kind of... And I know I exaggerate the point, but when we talked toward the end of the show on Thursday about all that mental stuff, it's all great when you win. When you lose, everybody has the counter argument. Well, they were too tight. If the Patriots had won in Arizona, everybody would have said the Giants were unfocused. They came in there talking about funerals. The Patriots were businesslike and prepared, and they went out and won. But they lost.
The key to a great coach, though, is knowing his team and knowing, okay, these are the buttons I need to push.
I agree, Freddie.
Or this game for this team. And
but don't you
apparently,
think...
Bill thinks this is the way to go this
Isn't
this
that
way.
A little strange, though, looking on paper? Because on paper, that was a very veteran, old team in 07. And you would have thought that would be a team maybe he would be a little more loose with because they know what they're doing. This is Rodney Harrison. This is Mike Vrabel and all Junior Seau, whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's a young team. You think he might want to kind of keep them contained and restrained, and they're loosey-goosey.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'll say two things. One, back in 07, I remember, I forget who it was, said, you didn't want to be the guy that screwed this up, you know? And I think that was on everybody's mind.
But that's not the right attitude.
No,
the right attitude
right.
is you should want to be the guy who makes this play.
In hindsight, now we know that.
Yeah, Keyshawn said that this morning.
I said it at the time.
Yeah, second thing is I was watching the sit-down that Belichick had with Mike Lombardi. And it was only a snippet. I didn't see the whole thing. But the interesting thing I took out of it was Belichick saying that it was the Pittsburgh game this year that he realized, I've got a resilient team. You know, he said we fell behind 10-0 in the first quarter. We were always playing from behind. The crowd was, you know, in a frenzy. Yet we battled, and, you know, we came within a touchdown at the end. You know, and that's the game that I realized what kind of team I had. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look back, and it's a lot of games in which you lose that the coach realizes what team you have. Yeah. You look back as far as 01, the Rams game.
And I agree with that.
Where they out-physicaled the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
He realized, okay, we can compete. The game where Brady threw four interceptions in Denver.
Denver, right. Absolutely, Freddie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a lot. I think you can learn a lot in defeat. Now, obviously, you want to learn those lessons and find a way to win the game if you can.
But right. You can't really.
But there's a lot of times it takes a loss to make you learn something. But you just never know when that loss happens.
And in 07, you never had that.
You know, in 07.
But who was it? Michael Gee said they needed it.
Right.
But the other part of it, though, Freddie, is he's crediting the Pittsburgh game. Well, they followed up that Pittsburgh game with a home loss
True.
The next week.
Yep.
You know, so sometimes you don't realize that when it's occurring, and obviously Bill 10 weeks later he can say that's when I first realized that we were mentally tough. It was a little bit different, and you can see it because you saw some examples of falling behind in Philly and falling behind at Washington, and obviously the two huge deficits at home with Miami and Buffalo the last two games. You saw the resilience, and I think that's something I don't think you necessarily know at the time, but it takes a little experience. Like Andy, was on it in Arizona all week. He thought that they were treating it too businesslike and whatnot. You know, and you made the point, Andy, about
is it a good one?
That, that veteran team, you should have been able to trust that they could have been a little bit looser and they knew what to prepare and when it was time in this young team. But maybe he's looking at it the other way, saying, I don't want to make it so uptight and businesslike for this young team and get them nervous.
Right.
Because they don't know, they want to try to keep it a little bit lighter and say, hey,
right.
Just a football game. But, just playing a football game.
And the uptightness in Arizona might have been from the team. It might have been from the veterans.
Self-imposed. Yeah.
Well, Kevin,
so the mistake there is not somehow creating a loose environment.
Yeah, a lot of them knew that it was going to be, if not their last game, it was going to be pretty close to it.
Right.
Some of them knew how close they were to immortality. They understood the magnitude. If
right.
you're a second-year player on an 18-0 team, yeah, you understand. Hey, this is pretty cool. We're going undefeated. But I just came out of college. I went 13-0 in college.
Right.
Right.
But, you're Teddy Bruschi and you're, 10, 12 years into it, and you're like, wow, this is immortality.
We usually only go 14-2.
Right.
Kevin in High Point, North Carolina writes, and maybe it's just the opposite. With older guys, you're not worried about them being intimidated by the moment, whereas with younger guys, keeping them loose might be the way to go.
Could be. I'll let you know Sunday around 10:30.
Because
that's the only way you're right is when you win, right?
I mean,
well, that's the point.
The bottom line is winning.
What does it tell you then if they lost by being uptight and then lost by being loose?
Well, it's two different teams. The 07 team might have won by being loose, and this team might have won with being uptight.
We will never know.
Right.
Never know.
And you don't know how that unfolds, but that's what I'm trying to say is when you win, these things become magnified as being part of the reason.
Right. Oh, yeah.
When, in reality, to me, it's 99.9999%. Execution on the field.
It's 100% execution on the field. And then the other stuff is because the Giants will either be they were confident and had no fear of the Patriots and they were in Brady and Belichick's head, or they were cocky and
overconfident
not
and unfocused,
paying enough attention, and they should have moved on Saturday night. And all these things become, the Patriots. Oh, the Patriots were dealing with illness, but only if they lose. No one will say they were dealing with illness if they blow the Giants out.
Oh, no, they'll
say they overcame it.
They will. That'll be part of the story.
Loretta writes in. She says, I was under the impression that Bill Belichick's contract went to 2013. I could be wrong about that. I doubt he would leave before his contract was over. I took his long answer to mean that he was happy coaching and wouldn't give it up for as long as Kraft and Brady wanted him. I could see him going out with Brady.
He didn't say that.
And that could be true. We're never sure about what the length of his contract is because they extend these things in secrecy. But if I was Robert Kraft, I want him to retire with time left in his contract because
I
still own him.
Right.
He can't go to another team without me getting compensation and having a say in it. So I would rather have him quit before his contract is over, like Barry Sanders in Detroit.
But other than that, it's irrelevant. I mean, he can walk away anytime
of course
he wants. He can retire.
Right.
But yes, that is a good point. You would own his rights. And I would be stunned if he ever went into a lame duck year where he was end of a deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last reported one was indeed 2013.
Right.
But for all we know, it's now 2020. Right. I mean, who knows?
And I know Robert Kraft has said on record, as long as he wants to coach here, he can coach here. And I believe that.
I believe it too.
And so it really is completely up to Bill Belichick what he wants to do. And boy, you know what? That would make me feel happy. If nothing else, I'd feel good about that. So, he's got a lot going for him, including a team that he really, really likes.
I'll tell you what, though. If he doesn't retire, I hope he brings the loosey-goosey, friendly Bill Belichick back with him to Foxborough for the next few years.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice. Well, it'd be different.
Good luck with that.
I don't know how I deal with that. It would be like, what are you supposed
to do? I'd
like
it. It'd be a welcome change.
Yeah.
It would be. Imagine that you're asking a question and he like interrupts you to tell a joke or something. You're like, what the hell is going on?
You know, and that reminds me,
well,
Eric.
That's just Bill being Bill.
Yeah, I
he comes up and helps transcribe.
You say, like, Bill, I know you don't rank him. Well, who says I don't rank him? I actually think number one is the – wait, what?
I actually published that on my blog today, Andy.
I can tweet you the link if you need it.
Right. That'd be great. I mean, Eric's right. It'd be such a welcome change. I think it's just, you know, I think it's a special occasion for him. I think if he were to stay, I would look back, you know, speaking of things that you don't really know what they mean at the time.
Right.
And, you know, if he were to stay, my guess is – the lighthearted nature would be truly an attempt to sort of embrace the Super Bowl atmosphere right. and enjoy it a little bit more than he has in the past and realize that doesn't come along every day, even though you've been there 5 times in 10 years or whatever.
Okay, so put a percentage on it. We're big on percentages.
What do you want me to tell you?
Percentage, Bill. What's the percentages that you could retire if you won?
20%.
I was going to say 80-20. I'm with you, Freddie.
That's so ridiculous.
I want to go last. I want to bid last.
Well, because I know what you're going to do. I'll go 77.5.
I'll go 25%.
38.
38%?
Yep.
So, okay.
I think there's a possibility.
Now, does he, if he...
So do I. That's why I gave
him
20%.
Would he do it immediately after the game or wait a few days?
Wait a little bit.
Let the celebration...
I would think he would do it at the victory, at the parade.
No, I think he would...
Announce it right then and there.
I think he would wait till afterwards.
After,
he's not the show. The team is the show. And then on Thursday, Patriots announce there's a press conference.
He might even wait a little longer than that.
Let the
whole thing die down first and then do
it. Not to overshadow the 2000.
Not steal any of the thunder.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. Me and you, Fred, were on that.
Can you imagine him on the post-game podium? Yeah. Announcing his
retirement.
He's
out, bitches.
So that's, I believe that's what Bill Walsh did.
Yeah, he won't. Bill Belichick will not.
But
that a surprise though, Paul? When Walsh did it?
Yeah,
I don't know
exactly how surprising it was to insiders. You know, maybe everybody covering the Niners, it wasn't. You might be right. Maybe it wasn't.
All the indie writers knew. They just didn't tell anybody.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right.
Just like they all knew that Pulliam was on his way out.
Right. Right.
So that would...
That's a good point, Eric.
Maybe it wasn't such a secret.
Who knows? I thought it was, but maybe it wasn't.
Bill Walsh, I guess, regretted it a little bit afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they
went on to win,
and then they won the next year. Well, I also remember he said a very classless thing, I thought.
Wow.
Right after that, and I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but...
But you did.
But he, after he retired, and then, you know, he was asked a question about which team was the best. Now, he had won 4 Super Bowls, and his answer was the next one. The next year's team will be the best. And I just thought that was a really crummy thing to do to George Seifert. You know, it's almost like if they don't win it next year, they stink. Now, they did win it. Whatever many Super Bowls. Would Walsh win 3 Super Bowls?
I don't know.
And then Seifert won 2?
Is that
how it was? So
Seifert won 2.
He won 3.
Seifert won 2?
I believe so.
Well, Seifert won, I think Walsh won in 81, 84, and then 88. And then Seifert won in 89, and then in 94.
Right. I believe that is accurate.
Oh, wow. All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the A Stickin' Hotline. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got your phone calls and emails.
Hefe!
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at jetblue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at jetblue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
I hope for something special, and I've learned that great players go to the Pro Bowl. Great teams go to the Super Bowl.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Thanks for joining us on this special Saturday edition. Last word before the big game, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. And Bob,
Super Saturday,
Bob
Freddie.
Doyle from our video department informs us that he'll have a man on the street segment on patriots.com tonight.
Hilarious.
It also lets us know that the only time we did not do a man on the street segment for patriots.com was in 07.
So blame Bob.
So we've corrected
Bob.
We've corrected that. We've got the man on the street back on patriots.com, which assures us a victory.
That and several other things.
That and Tom Brady.
So we're making sure.
As Bob waves his hand at us, nothing to do with this.
We're making sure that all the wrongs are righted for this game. All the T's are crossed, I's are dotted.
No red hoodie for Belichick.
Right, no red hoodie. Everything's buttoned up. We're ready to go.
Loosey goosey.
All right, let's go to the phones on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go first to Jeff in Vegas, who has our play of the week.
Hey, guys, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, Jeff.
Vegas rocking in the pre-Super Bowl hype?
Yeah, is it ever, man. A lot of fun last night out in the city. Everyone's really excited, Patriot Giants fans alike.
Are you going to be watching the game at one of the sports books, or where are you going to be?
Yeah, I think I was, but I just can't. I might just watch it with my son in isolation. He's pretty much the only one I can watch it with, unless I'm at a sports book just going crazy, yelling and screaming. I think I just might be quiet, just watching in isolation, maybe do a little tweeting, you know, during the game is how we sort of are rolling this year, I believe.
Okay. What's the best prop bet that you've heard so far?
Yeah, the color of Gatorade is one of the super exotic ones. You've got Gronkowski, 87.5 yards versus the number of points scored in a Celtics game, minus 14 in a Celtics game.
Jeez.
So that's insane. One that's a little bit more realistic is there's an under 17 in the first quarter, which is tempting for the under.
Right.
If you, as Eric would say, extrapolate that over four quarters, it's way over the total, which is right now about 54.
That's an interesting one, and I wonder where they came up with that and if it's a sucker's bet.
Sluggish starts. Yeah. Jeff, who's leading the way right now with scoring the first point or points?
I think that's pretty much even money. As Fred said, a sucker's bet, though, that first quarter under 17 is sort of counterintuitive because everyone thinks, oh, yeah, they got to feel each other out. Team that scores first, a lot of it has to do with the kickoff and that they're saying if Gronkowski has a stronger leg, he's going to kick it in, you know, through the end zone. And then, of course, New England likes to defer, so it looks like the Giants could well, in fact, get the ball first. So I think there's a slight bias towards the Giants scoring first, believe it or not.
Okay. All right.
That's logical.
Yeah, so anyway, it's I can't believe the day is here almost, as Eric would say, sort of the penultimate day before the game. Total is open 55.5. It's down to 54.5. And then it's really interesting. You've got to either New England minus 3 or New England minus 2.5. It's sort of even between all the books.
Right. So it has come down a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, they tweak it, though. It's like if you get the -3, you get the Giants -120. Like, they're trying to dissuade you from taking the Giants with the 3. But if you take the Patriots -2.5, then you get New England -120, so you lose like 20% of what you would have won if you get the 2.5 rather than 3 taking New England, if that makes any sense to anyone.
A little bit, but not much.
All right, yeah, so Jeff, where's the smart money at?
Great question, Andy. I think that brings us to the Jeff in Vegas Super Bowl play of the week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Nice, Matt. Far superior to Kevin Collins, incidentally.
Agreed.
Guys, hoping the Giants aren't maybe quite as sharp as they have been in the past. Tom Brady, I think, cements the legacy. We've got Myra watching over our shoulder. I like New England fairly convincingly. New England by 7. It's going to be New England Patriots, 27. New York Giants, 20.
Okay.
And under as well. I got 55.5 earlier in the week. Take New England and the under. Lock it in.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff in Vegas.
Hopefully you do just swimmingly.
I like that, although 27-20 to me isn't that convincing.
Well, I'm scared.
Well, it could be maybe a late rally Giants. By the Giants.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're up 27-13.
By the way, touchdown.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I hope so.
We'll be making our picks at the end of this show.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. We are making our
picks. No, we're not making picks.
We got to hurry.
We wussed out.
We got to hurry.
We got to hurry. We have a game to pick.
Let's go to Tiff in Wisconsin. Hey, Tiff. Tiff.
Hey, I just heard you guys aren't making your picks to the end of the show.
Right.
Yes.
I thought I would ask before the end of the show.
Well, you already know that Eric thinks they're going to win by 22.
You can ask, but we're going to wait until
the end of the show. I agree with Eric. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, darn right it is, Tiff.
Okay.
You know, I never watch games live ever because if I watch, they'll lose ever since 07.
Oh, man.
So this is the first time I feel like I need to watch because it's not going to be good for the Giants. That's what I think.
Oh, God, I
feel like it's 45-3 all over again.
Oh, wow. Oh my goodness.
I told Paul that. Paul doesn't agree, but it feels like 45-3. It really does.
I think this would be the game that I take my shirt off and run through the press box.
Everybody in front of him runs the other way.
Yeah. Well, you'll already
but
have
one
your,
other thing, though.
You'll already have your pants off,
before
Fred.
Before you guys
so
cut
really
me off.
Well,
I want to
ahead,
buy
Tiff.
You guys lunch when you guys get back to Gillette.
You're going to buy lunch? Okay.
I think I love you, Tiff.
That's very nice, Tiff.
Yeah, I've been freeloading, so.
No.
And I came into a little money. So.
Whoa.
Oh, hey now. By all means.
It wasn't enough to get me to the Super Bowl. I did look into getting to the Super Bowl, but I only have $10K.
Yeah.
Extra.
Super Bowl costs
not
a lot.
Enough.
Yeah,
the
no,
Super Bowl is a
not
tough
enough.
Expense.
I don't know how some of these people
not
do
enough.
It.
I'm so upset. So how would I go about doing that? Do I need to just call Kevin?
Hook up with Kevin when we get back, and he'll give you all the necessary info.
Or maybe Matt, because he's a little more reliable.
You send an email in, and Kevin will get it.
Enjoy the game, and if they lose, it's your fault for watching.
I hope you're right, Tiff.
That's Tiff and Wisconsin. I've heard some people paying as much as $25,000 for a package.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous. I thought you were talking about for lunch for us.
Oh, I know.
Well, that, you know.
That's a jumbo package.
$25,000 for one seat, you mean?
Or whatever it is for two people.
Yeah, it must be like a travel hotel.
Travel. But
that makes it okay, Paul.
I'm saying, $25,000 to scalp a ticket?
Do I want to buy a new car in cash or have a couple days of fun?
Right. I'm not saying I would spend $25,000 for the whole package, but do you think it makes any sense to spend that much for just the ticket?
No, but I don't think you have to. I heard you could get tickets for like $2,800 online.
Oh, that's awesome.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. The fact that you said package.
Like $4,000. Were like the high-end tickets.
Well, I also heard yesterday Darren Rovell tweeted out that the prices are coming down. They've come down 6%.
Oh, it's getting closer to game time. That normally happens.
6%. So what are they down to? 27.
Tom in Virginia is on the line. Tom, how you doing?
Greg.
Good.
What's up?
Okay.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I'm picking the Pats to go 27 to 17. But what's the chance? What do y'all think the chances of the Patriots activating that tight end they signed the practice squad to the active team?
Carson Butler?
I think the Giants can't really run that defense well against two tight ends.
I think they did that more as an insurance policy in case Gronk was really, really bad and couldn't go, but I wouldn't expect to see Carson Butler activated.
Right,
tomorrow.
Plus because Gronk wasn't going to practice
last week and this week they needed that guy in practice.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him on the field.
Yeah.
All right, guys, enjoy the game. I'm thinking the X-Factor for this game is going to be Stephen Ridley. Enjoy the game. Go
Could
back.
Be. You're not the first person to have said that.
No, the first was Stephen Ridley.
In terms of an X factor, I think that's a good pick. Yeah. Someone that you're really not expecting and could have an impact. I think he's a guy that
90 minutes before the game, you could find out.
Absolutely. He could be inactive as well.
I'll tell you what, though, with the one last Carson Butler note, if the Patriots do win, that's a great way to get a ring without
talk to him about that, but he seemed like he was having so much fun with the other guys at his table that I never did. You know, just you get signed literally as they're leaving to go to the Super Bowl, and you get a chance to be a part of all of this.
And he did put in his time last year. He was on the practice squad all last year, too, so it's not like he's completely new to the team.
Yeah,
but
I meant to do that as a blog item to see what he had to say about it, but like I said, he was having so much fun with the other guys at this table. I just didn't want to interrupt him.
Even a veteran like Lusaka Polite joins the team in like December, whatever it was, really late
in
the
season.
Late in
the season.
And he's, you know, has a chance to get a ring.
Well, I saw Junior Seau pull up today. He might be. Anthony in Naples is
got it going today.
He does have his A game. He got a good night's
feeling
sleep
good.
Or something.
He's feeling good.
Anthony, how you doing?
What's going on, Cork Soakers?
Ah,
let's go, Mr. Negativity. You want to fire Belichick?
No, stop it. No, I want to fire you, Andy. You're coming off annoying recently.
That's not very nice.
I'm with you, Anthony.
Oh my goodness! Like you sound like Rich with the cackling, laughing in the morning. It's just like, ugh.
Rich on Toucher.
Toucher and Rich, yes. You know,
I met him the other day.
What's that?
I met him the other day, media day.
Oh really? Was he cackling? Is that how you spotted him out?
No, he ran up to me and was kind of weird.
Yeah, that's true. He did. He ran up to Andy like he
kind of made me uncomfortable when I saw him running.
Brother.
Yeah, it was very awkward. Experience.
And then he kind of ran away just as quickly.
Wow,
and you know what? Andy didn't run away because it wasn't, you know, a fan. It was somebody who was actually on the radio.
Okay, go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, but listen, you guys are crazy saying Belichick is going to retire.
We're not saying that.
Let's pump the brakes on that.
I'm not saying that you're saying it, but okay, relax, guys. You're getting over the.
Well, I don't want you to, you know, mislead people into thinking that he's going to retire.
I just think it's laughable, the topic, because you could just see the type of, like, OCD that he has. What else is he going to do?
Yeah.
He loves what he's doing. The only way I see Belichick, and listen, I'm not wishing this upon him, and the only way I see him leaving is that it's health reasons. You know, he has to leave. That is the only way I see it happening.
That I don't agree with.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. He said that he's not going to be one of these guys, and he mentions
Marv Levy all the time.
That is going to be forced out and be too old for it. He's just not going to be that guy. And I believe when he says that, I believe it.
And you guys don't think he, like, loves his kids and wouldn't mind spending more time with his kids?
I think he loves his kids. I think
his daughter is coaching
at Ohio State. Probably both his boys will probably get into some form of coaching because they've got that type of aptitude. You know,
maybe he just wants to do other stuff.
And he himself said, I wouldn't mind coaching lacrosse.
But even a lot of these guys come back to it. They think they're done, and they think they want to do other things, and then 2 years later they realize they don't want to. But
or
he
Joe
could
Gibbs,
go watch
who
Brian.
Went like 10 years or whatever it was.
He could go follow Bon Jovi for a year. He has other interests. As much as we like to make him out to be a total robot, he isn't.
Imagine that if he went as a tour groupie. Which
he
is
could.
Going, you know,
he could.
Like driving the Grateful Dead bus.
See,
I say a minimum of 8 more years. I see him coaching the next quarterback. I feel like in his mind he'll want to prove that obviously it's about Brady, but like I think he has that mindset where it's like I want to do it with another guy too. You know, just like I want to win a championship with another guy, do something nobody's ever done. You know, may have like 4 to 5 wins underneath his belt, and then maybe another one with another quarterback. I don't know why I see that happening with him. I just can't see him with another team. You know.
Yeah.
But
well, he could also just walk away and never come back. I mean, some people do, but he could be Barry Sanders. I'm done. I did what I wanted to do, accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. I'm out.
I respect those people a lot more, too.
But it's all speculation. We have no idea. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's going to think tomorrow or, you know, 2 years from now after he does take time off or doesn't. You know, it's all changes every minute of every day.
Yep.
That rock guy.
All right. Thanks, Anthony, for the call. Brian in Holyoke, Mass. says, just to clarify, the caller from Vegas who sounded like he knew what he was talking about, the first quarter over-under is not 10.5, not 17.5. Second quarter over-under is 17.5.
Thank you. So much for Jeff being our expert.
Well, we don't know who's right and who's wrong.
Well, it could be a different source.
I suppose different books could have different numbers for things like that.
Difference.
But that is a big difference. But the first quarter being 17, that seems a little odd to me. Like I could see even if the offenses are clicking early. You know, like I think back to the last Super Bowl in 2007, you know, the Giants had the ball to start the game and they had that 10.5 minute drive that resulted in a field goal. And then the Patriots started their drive and it ended in the first quarter with them still, you know, only having 3 points. Both offenses were extremely efficient to start the game and you only end up with 3 points. So 17 seems pretty high.
Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hey, guys, and Eric, I just have to say this has been the longest Super Bowl buildup in the history of ever. All I want is
That's
for
a
the
long
game.
Time.
All I want is for the game to get here so I don't have to hear about how amazing the bloody Giants are everywhere I go anymore. NFL Network has played that damn Tyreek catch so many times now, I'm beginning to think that all the other clips from that game were lost in a fire. If this game doesn't get here soon, what left of my sanity will be gone. So there's it's been long, that's for sure, no doubt about it. Let's see.
Just our little minor news item around the league. Brian Daboll is going to go to Kansas City. Did you guys see that?
No.
He's going to be the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs.
Oh, is that right?
For Romeo.
Wow.
I guess Sparano was trying to get him to go to the Jets to be their quarterbacks / passing game coordinator for the Jets.
When
but
news
he will go...
breaks, we break it.
He'll go back to... coaching the same staff as Romeo with Kansas City.
Gabe has a little poem that I'll read.
Okay.
He's taken the time to craft a poem for us. So
does it rhyme?
I'll give him a little airtime here. He says, brace yourself, Pats fans. Here we go again for another shot of those cocky G-men. We've had our ups and we've had our downs, but all that doesn't matter when we win the crown. Our first playoff challenge was defeating Tim Tebow. Well, it wasn't really a challenge, as Brady stole the show. He threw six touchdowns and sent the Broncos packing. Hell, even the defense chipped in with all their sacking. Our next challenge was the Ravens and their juggernaut D. But we were ready. Patience, patience, and patience was the key. In the final seconds, just when we thought our Super Bowl dreams had slid out from the skies, comes Billy the Kid. He misses the kick as we all scream and cheer. It's been four long years, but we're finally here. So let's all get lubed up, cheer and pray, and get this one for MHK.
Well done.
So that's his
Tim, good take job. Notes. That was a good poem.
Mm-hmm.
That rhymed.
Good meter and everything.
Yeah.
Well read by Fred, too.
Let's see. Fox in New Mexico. Thanks.
He's having
for
a good day, Eric.
Thanks for the Saturday show. When I first looked at how Eli has been playing, I thought the only way the Patriots can come up with turnovers is forced fumbles. But I've been thinking a lot about the underappreciated aspect of the deservedly maligned Patriots secondary. Arrington, McCourty, Chung, Moore, and certainly Edelman all have great hands. Heck, even Mayo and Wilfork have shown new ability to grab the ball out of the sky. Despite the nightmares I've had all week of McCourty with his back to the ball, I am starting to think that if they can make Eli throw 40 times, the Pats will walk away with a few. What is the likelihood of interceptions by Patriots players? What are your thoughts?
I think Eli throws two interceptions and loses a fumble.
Wow.
And win by 22, and he's got all these specific things.
I think if they do, I sort of agree with the line of thinking. If they have to throw the ball over 40 times, I think there'll be some interceptions.
Okay.
In all likelihood, there will be. I'll tell you what, though. If you don't get them,
you're
in trouble.
Yeah.
If you don't get any interceptions, you're in trouble.
Yeah. They have to win the turnover battle. They can't do what they did escaping from Baltimore, getting behind in the turnover battle and still winning. They're going to have to get more turnovers than the Giants.
Nilsson in Queens says, love the show. As a Vermonter now living in New York, it's a lifesaver to be able to get your podcast so I can get some good Pats talk in this giant blue hellhole. My question is about the time of possession and clock management. I know that the Giants' strength is their passing game, but it seems like it would be important to them to control the clock and keep Brady off the field. Do you think they may favor the run more than they have recently to give their defense more time to rest up? Given the Patriots' ability to use the hurry-up offense, do you think it's possible that the Patriots could lose the battle in time of possession but still win the game?
Sure.
I think that's likely. I think the Patriots have lost the battle in time of possession virtually every game.
What Paul says about other teams, I think it's the same with Patriots. If the Giants decide they want to run the ball a lot, I think the Patriots will thank them.
I agree.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
You know,
the Giants are not thank them.
The Giants are not a great running team. They're particularly ineffective in short yardage situations, and I think the Patriots are effective in those.
Yep.
You know, the third and shorts, and I think the Giants have had a real tough time picking those up this season. I think any time they run the ball is a favor for New England.
You know, one thing this guy from FAN said to yesterday that I wasn't aware of, and obviously I'm not as close to the Giants as he is, but he said that throughout the year one of the weaknesses of the Giants passing game is that Cruz and Manningham sometimes run the wrong route, and they get mixed up in all of that.
To get on the same play?
And that screws up Manning sometimes. I wasn't aware of that. Had you guys heard of that at all?
No.
No,
not at all. We've just been hearing about how great Cruz has become, how Nix is back, and he's got the huge hands.
Right. So, I don't know if that's the case or not, but it certainly hasn't shown itself in the playoffs.
Not so far.
Yeah,
I don't think it's shown itself. I mean, I'm sure that there have been times where those guys have run the wrong routes, but, I mean, the guy's got 1,580 yards receiving? I mean,
yeah.
How many times was he in the wrong place?
Yeah, that's not something I've heard of. But maybe it is.
They're due for that, Fred.
Mario from San Benito. Hey, guys, great week of shows. I wanted to chime in a bit on Peyton Manning since everyone else seems to be doing it, but in a different manner. I'm talking about the good old Brady Manning debate. Can we safely say that it's decided with a Patriots win, or do the Manning backers still have an argument? I know the Colts won in 06, but with a not-so-good defense, and I've heard apologists say that if Manning had better defenses, he'd have more rings. But if Brady wins tomorrow, he'd have won it with a lesser defense, not to mention the previous three. What do you guys think? And my prediction is Patriots 37, Giants 31.
And Brady will have done it 10 years apart from his first one, which I think also speaks to the longevity of him as a quality quarterback.
Yeah,
he'll have four rings. The other Mannings will each have one. I don't even think it'll
be a debate. Certainly, and this isn't Peyton's fault, but if this is it for him, okay, I think Brady gets the nod in that battle. Not that they're both great. They both are great. They're both going to the Hall of Fame. So it's really nitpicking to, you know, separate the two of them. What I think is the more interesting one is the debate going on between Eli and Peyton Manning. A lot of people are saying that Peyton is greater because he's done it with not as good a teams as Eli has, that Eli has had better teams around him than Peyton has.
Well, I mean, I don't even think the Eli-Peyton one is even in the same sentence. I don't care how many rings Eli ends up with. Peyton's been a far better quarterback.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for Eli, but to me, Peyton is – the argument with him is he one of the best of all time? And I don't think Eli is anywhere near that category yet.
No.
Now, I agree. I mean, we've all sort of agreed that we will take Brady in the Brady-Manning debate. But if I was an Indianapolis fan, I'd probably say, I'll still take Peyton. You know, but to me, Brady's done it every way you can. He's done it as being a sort of game manager type. He's done it being the focal point of the offense. He's done it with great defense. He's done it with no defense. He's done it with a great running game. He's done it with an all-out, you know, deep down the field passing game. To me, I don't think there's any other way you can win than Brady has already done.
Scott says, I feel Belichick gets his fourth tomorrow and looks for a fifth Super Bowl win with Tom to be the coach with the most Super Bowl wins. If he doesn't get a fifth, I feel he goes out when Tom does. Your thoughts? I mean, that's just as
all that stuff makes a lot of sense.
Sure,
I don't know.
It's all speculation.
Let's see, Brooklyn Matt. Hi, Cheese Whizzes. He says, I'm now convinced the Patriots are going to win. Why? Because for the first time ever, Andy knew something I didn't. He was talking about tapas on Thursday, and I actually had to listen to him to learn what they were. Wow, talk about role reversal.
You are the
wow.
That
you,
is not very impressive for you.
You disappoint me, Matt.
But that has been a major trend in recent years.
For a guy
like him who thinks he is on the edge of fashion and culture and all that crap.
Yeah, but earlier in the show, Andy had his usual gaffe with not knowing what the term yeoman meant in relation to Belo's fine work. But then Andy turned it around and hit pay dirt with tapas. So look for the Patriots to mirror Andy's performance, falter earlier in the game, and then finish strong, pulling an unexpected surprise out of nowhere late.
Andy, try to bring it for 60 minutes tomorrow, okay?
I'll be fine. Don't you worry about it. Eric, I don't know if this is new news, old news, redundant. Pro Football Talk says all ticket sales have been suspended for London.
That's new because as of, the day yesterday? Yeah, because I did check again yesterday. The high-priced packages were still available.
Say, Pro Football Talk tweeted that NFL suspends ticket sales.
And what did the commissioner say yesterday in regards to that? He said he's hoping it'll get resolved. So he's
right.
He's admitting that there is a problem.
Yes. He did leave the door open that
guaranteed a game.
He guaranteed a game, but he didn't guarantee that the Patriots would be in it.
Yeah.
He said we hope
it'll be Rams-Patriots.
Which is troubling.
But
however,
we will be playing in London in 2012.
However, before he answered the next question, which was about Shahid Khan of the Jaguars.
And the longest question ever.
Yeah, it was.
That guy's still asking.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
I saw him at Radio Row. He was literally still asking the question.
Well, he was reading it, too, which was really embarrassing.
Well, I did tweet out right before he did start that diatribe of a question that it would if the Rams had a problem and couldn't get out of that lease issue that they have with the Edward Jones Dome, the most logical alternative would be to give the Jaguars the home game there. Because the rumor was that Shahid Khan really wanted to play in London this year and wanted to play the Patriots. Just switch the home team there, because the Patriots are already playing the Jaguars. And the game that was rumored to have been the choice could now be the fallback.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would make the most sense and would be the least disruptive.
I would assume that is the fallback, because we had heard or read that the only reason the Jags weren't involved in the talks was they missed some deadline to apply for the...
Which was happening when Shahid Khan was taking over as owner.
So I think that's your easy fallback.
Well, first of all, I really don't agree with your premise.
Which the commissioner said almost every day yesterday.
About 15 times yesterday, he started off his answer to whatever the question was with not really agreeing with the premise.
But after I tweeted that out, the question about the Jaguars came up, and Goodell made a point to mention that Khan has expressed an interest in playing in London. So maybe to appease a little bit the concerns of our UK fan base, the ever-expanding fan base we have over there, I think you can make a direct correlation between my speculation and what the commissioner said, so that maybe if the Rams game doesn't come to pass, the Patriots will still be there against the Jaguars.
Well, the only thing to worry about with that, though, is were there any other teams that did apply? And can you skip over a team that applied properly for Jacksonville?
Well, right. I think they do need to consider the fan base issue. If I mean, you're right, Paul. That is legitimate concern.
For all I know, you know, the Cowboys applied, but they went with the Rams.
Right, and that is a legitimate concern or a legitimate issue.
No, I'm just as a hypothetical. I just threw a team out there, but you know what I'm saying. If anybody applied properly,
right, then they could have.
Have to do some explaining to a team that went through the process the right way and the right time. To skip them and say, okay, well, Jacksonville's going because they're playing New England.
Well, and I think
we know that Chad wanted to go.
Right. But I think the explanation is, look, the Patriots have a huge fan base there already. We did ask the Patriots to be the team that has the long-term commitment. They turned us down because they don't want to give up the home games. We have to get New England in this game somehow. So we'll have to appeal to their schedule as opposed to the others. I mean, if I were Roger, that's what I would be doing.
I think as we go along, we should create a segment for Eric, which is the London update segment. Maybe we can start out with like the Big Ben gonging.
Bum, 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 bum,
right.
Bum,
bum, and then Eric bum, can give bum, his bum. Weekly update for the London situation.
From London. Be happy to do that.
From London. I've never seen him so tirelessly work at one thing since he's been here.
But you know, I might have him do
getting
it from
us,
Afghanistan.
Getting us to London.
You can thank me for my service.
Right.
Then.
Jacksonville.
Jesse writes in, the tree hugger from Oregon. He says, hopefully for the Saturday show, we can dispense with the whole media bias drama that Fred has been stirring up and get back to focusing on the game itself. If you don't like what you are seeing on NFL Network or ESPN, turn it off.
Yeah, like Mike Tyson says, turn off your station.
Do what any other reasonable person would do and rely solely on Patriots.com for all of your Super Bowl coverage. Now for a game plan question for you. Paul has talked in the past about when the Patriots run the ball, even if they are running effectively and moving the chains, they are doing a favor for the other team. I can see that being the case when the other team has a middling offense, but with the Giants' offensive strength being their passing game, I think possessing the ball and limiting Manning's opportunities to victimize the Patriots' secondary might not be a bad idea. Again, as long as the running game is moving you down the field and hopefully opening up opportunities in the passing game, I don't see why it would be a bad thing to keep our defense off the field for longer stretches. I'm not advocating abandoning the pass in favor of a ground and pound. I'm just saying that relying on an effective running game against a less-than-stellar run defense might be a good way to go.
Yeah, no, I would agree with the premise of that. And
First of all, he agrees with the premise.
I do, and that was unintentional to use my Rod speak. But, I do think that if you can be effective running the ball. Here's the thing that I'm talking about is, and he mentioned this at the very end, you know, I'm not suggesting we scrap the spread to go with a ground and pound. Well, that's what I'm talking about. If you want to change what you want to do and go to the ground and pound, I think that works to the other team's advantage because I think that keeps the score down and that sort of limits the shootout element of the game. You can maybe win 24-20 as opposed to 34-30, which I think is a big difference. If you can run the ball effectively out of those spread formations and as part of your no-huddle attack and hurry-up attack, then, yeah, by all means. I thought they ran the ball very effectively in that one drive against Baltimore, but not so much, really, for the other parts of the game. I don't know if they can run the ball well enough against anyone to win a game by running the ball, which is why, it's an exaggeration to say, well, you're doing the other team a favor the whole time. I mean, you can average 5.5 yards a carry and, you know, finish with 100 yards and you didn't do the other team a favor by running the ball effectively. You ran the ball effectively. It helped you win.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's take a quick break. We'll get back to more calls and emails.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Right,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello!
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity. like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks,
it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No.
And you better not bring it up either. All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. This is a very special Saturday edition of PFW in progress / pregame social. We're doing it, getting our last words in before the big game. Mike in Nashville writes that you guys are idiots.
Yes.
Browse Giants message boards, and the predominant feeling is that the fear that New York might lose because everyone is picking them to win. Browse Patriots boards, and the predominant feeling is disrespect because everyone is picking New York to win. Do a Google search for everyone is picking the Giants, and you'll get 100 stories written in the past 2 weeks. Do a search for everyone is picking the Patriots, and you'll get a smattering of old stories, none of which are discussing the upcoming Super Bowl.
So should we just ignore the actual picks themselves, or just read the stories and say, everyone?
I don't care what the vast majority of people are picking the Giants to win. I do care that you guys, specifically Paul, and to a lesser extent Andy, are A, somehow completely oblivious to this fact, and B, trying to convince Patriots fans that we're somehow creating this perception. And he goes on to list the articles.
Listen. Stop for a second.
Well, look.
Stop for a second. I'm not oblivious to the fact that people are saying that everybody's picking the Giants. I've seen that stated many, many places and many, many times. I'm just judging on the actual picks themselves, which, as Andy and I talked about on Tuesday, don't generally get made until now. Now when all the ESPN analysts are checking in, we saw 54.5% pick the Giants.
Or 50, exactly 50%, 17 of 34.
And again, I am not suggesting that I haven't seen a lot of people pick the Giants, because I have. It's just not universal as it's being suggested by people like you, Fred.
Mike Reese has written, why does it seem like everyone is picking the Giants?
And then the same story is the one I saw, 35 out of 63 analysts pick the Giants. Almost half.
Another article, the elephant in the room is the fact that everyone is picking the Giants. Chicago Tribune, almost everyone is picking the Giants.
Again, this doesn't mean it's true.
James Brown from Yahoo
Sports.
People
are talking about it. It doesn't make it so.
Why is everyone picking the Giants? SB Nation, Super Bowl odds favor the Patriots, but everyone's picking the Giants.
And SB Nation had over 500,000 people vote, and what was it, Fred? 50-50.
No, that
you
was,
showed it to me.
No, that was
you showed
that,
it to
that
me.
That was ESPN. But
Sports Nation is
Sports
ESPN.
Nation, yeah, Paul's right.
You showed it to me.
No, SB Nation is something different.
Yeah, that was the blog.
Bunch of Yahoo bloggers.
Right. That's different than the ESPN.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, but I thought that was the one
that
you showed me.
I think ESPN.
So anyway, the data that you're showing me, Fred, does not really comply with all of these stories. I am not oblivious to these stories. I've seen them out there. I just don't think they're accurate. I think a lot of people are picking the Giants, and fewer people are picking the Patriots. It's just not the gap in between them that people are writing about. The Giants fans, as Andy suggested, I think he's right, are louder. They've been louder. And they're also here, I think, in bigger numbers than Patriots fans right now.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I was walking around downtown in the NFL experience, and I saw more Packers, Steelers, Bears,
Colts.
And Colts jerseys
than Giants, are predominant everywhere.
Than Giants and Patriots.
Yes. Today, Andy and I went out this morning for a couple hours, walking down to the NFL Village, the NFL Experience, right in the heart of the city, and we're starting to see more and more Giants and Patriots fans, but it's still predominantly other teams.
Yeah,
I've seen more Colts than anything,
I don't remember seeing.
It's not even close.
I don't remember seeing it anywhere else that we've been.
Right.
And it's, you might be able to look at it individually. Like New Orleans wasn't really very good when we were there in 2001. Arizona is just not a good market, so we didn't see a ton of Cardinals shirts there. You know, maybe you look at it, Jacksonville. You know, maybe they
Houston,
just weren't. This is a market that is used to being in the playoffs and deep in the playoffs. And
a market known for wearing jerseys.
And the Colt fans.
Remember the old RCA Dome? Every single person in the facility would have a jersey
on. And Peyton actually made mention of that this week, how, you know,
the
fans,
Colts,
you know, every one of them show up with a jersey.
And we're downtown. So we're downtown in a city known for wearing jerseys.
That has been striking to me, how many Colts jerseys. And I know we're in Indy before someone makes fun of me for saying, well, geez, Paul, what'd you expect? But this is way more Colts fans in this city than I've seen in any of the other NFL cities that we've been in.
Al from Italy writes in. He says, here we are at 36 hours. It's a kickoff of time.
any news on the ankle of a Gronk? Let's say Andy Moore Paul.
I like that's his new tagline. I kind of like that.
Andy doesn't.
Andy's not amused.
I wasn't listening. Less Andy, more Paul.
Less say Andy, more Paul.
The latest on Gronk's ankle.
It's getting better.
He's
working really hard
day to day.
Yeah, he's jogged through. He didn't have any type of setback or anything. He's working 24/7 to be as healthy as possible for game time.
He'll be there.
He's working very hard.
I still have a sneaking suspicion that maybe we don't see him till the second half.
Really?
I think you're
based on the Dwight Freeney thing from a couple of Super Bowls ago.
Dead wrong.
Where he played in the first half and then the ankle got
tightened
worse.
Up. Yeah. Yep.
Maybe they saved
Dwight
him
Freeney
for the
was 30
try,
though. Gronk's
try to get
only
by
22.
For two quarters without him. Go through that half hour of halftime with the Madonna and the Super Bowl halftime show. Come back out, throw Gronk at the Giants defense and see how they handle that, because they won't have time to adjust at that point.
I don't know.
I'm not going to dismiss anything as out of hand, but I would be absolutely floored if he did that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't afford to fall behind.
Right.
Basically intentional. I mean, you run the risk of doing
that. You run the risk, but
you're not putting your best team on the field to start the game. That means that you have the risk of
21 touchdowns on the bench or whatever the hell it is.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Let's go to the phone. Scott in Atlanta. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Scooter?
How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
A little tired,
good,
but not bad.
Coming down the home stretch here.
As they've been saying all week, we are doing super.
This is what, turn three in a racetrack, coming down the home stretch now?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, for the record, I'm picking the Pats.
For the record, me too. I'm just not going to tell you the score for another 15 minutes.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to tell you the score because I'm kind of superstitious. So, but, you know, one of my comments is 2007, that wasn't fun for me. And, you know, I know a lot of
it's a blast for
obvious.
Most people.
Yeah. I know a lot of Pats fans that, I mean, you know, we didn't have fun leading up to the game. You know, there was just too much talk about the, you know, 19-0 and, you know, Brady doing the interview with Bradshaw about four, you know, what's it going to be like to have four rings. It was too much. It was almost tiring for us. So, you know, I've turned off NFL Network. I haven't seen anything. I just listen to you guys and, you know, I follow you on Twitter. But, you know, this has been enjoyable. And, yeah, I'll keep myself busy tomorrow before the game. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the game. I feel good about the game. And the reason why I feel good about the game is because of Bill. Something about Bill this week. You know, has he figured something out? I don't know. But he's really, his attitude has almost made me feel, I don't know, should I say confident about the game?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being confident heading into a game. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, if he's making you confident, don't you think he might be making his players confident too?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Well, yeah, and I can tell you this. He's, for this fan anyways, and my family, we feel, you know, better about the game. You know, we all thought we were going to win in 2007, but just the lead-up was just freaking exhausting. I mean, it was just the constant talk about 19-0 and perfection and,
right.
And then when the game kicked off, it was...
Well, it's understandable, though. Don't you think, Scott, it's understandable that was what all the talk was about at that point? Because it's such a rare thing that's, you know, that we've ever seen in the league.
Yeah, 07 was a coronation.
I don't think the Patriots have anything to lose on Sunday. I mean, they can lose the game. You didn't win a Super Bowl, but it's not like, you know, all this talk of legacies and all this crap. So what? You went to 5 Super Bowls. You won 3 of them. You didn't win 2 of them. I mean, there's not this huge thing hanging over your head.
Yeah,
like
it's not
was
like
'07.
The Buffalo Bills that lost them all, and then it just became more and more pressure with each subsequent trip. You've won 3. If you lose it, yeah, it stinks, and we'll be bummed out, and, you know,
won't be able to wear any of my merchandise.
But if they win it, you know, I agree with Andy. You know, you've been to 5 in 11 years, and that's incredibly impressive, and no one's going to be able to take that away. And you won 3 of them, even if you do lose this one. I would want to pump the brakes on no lose situation, but, you know, it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Yeah, no, and I agree with all that. I just and Eric, I think, you know, my comment was, and I understand all the talk about, you know, that game and what it was going to mean. It was just for a Patriots fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the build-up and the build-up and just the hope of what was about to happen. And I'm sure the players felt the exact same thing. So I can understand that. And I understand maybe how Bill's approaching this game. But, I mean, it was just absolutely exhausting. And I was one of those guys, I didn't watch sports for 2 months. You know, I didn't want to watch anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that was I listen to you guys, obviously. But, I mean, I didn't want to watch a damn thing.
Yeah, I didn't listen to sports radio for a while. It took me a while.
Well, don't worry. You'll be happy on Monday, Scott.
Yeah,
I'm not worried.
All right, Scott. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kansas City where Tim is. Hey, Tim.
Fraud, where are you? Hi, Fraud.
Fraud.
Hey, Tim.
A couple things. I was reading a couple articles this week. One that Schefter did on Myra, or he included in his Friday 10 spot with the way that Will Fork was close to Myra and some of the other players. How unusual do you guys think it is that the players and owners have that kind of relationship?
I don't think it's totally out of the ballpark. I think there's other teams. I know, what's her name? The Frontieri.
Georgia Frontieri.
She was close with a lot of people.
But she was actually the owner.
Right.
After her husband died.
So was Myra. I mean,
she became the owner. Yeah. She became the owner because her husband died, right?
Right. Yeah, but it was...
And let's face it, you know, Andy and Erica Wright. I mean, she might have been the owner in name, but she really wasn't. She was the owner's wife.
Right.
And then she had the team when her husband died.
Right.
But I do think it's not everywhere that you end up with that relationship. I do think it was legitimately special. And, you know, we all saw it a million times. I know Buffalo was one of the places where we'd be standing right next to her waiting to do media stuff. Mm. And every player would come up.
Every
and a hug and a kiss,
kiss,
a handshake.
Yep. Every single one.
Yep.
Do you think that could be an extra source of motivation? They say that, like, Will Fork gives Robert two kisses now, one for Myra.
That's yes.
Do you not think that's going to be an extra...
I absolutely think it's going to be a
Paul
fact.
Does, too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable with all the kissing, though. I was never much of a man-on-man kisser.
Another question I have for you guys is...
it's more man-on-man butt-bumping.
Two articles about... one about Ernie Adams and one about Bergerian.
Yep. I read the one about Bears. I didn't see the one on Ernie Adams.
I think it was on Yahoo. I think Adams was.
What did you think about the article, Tim?
Say again?
What did you think about the article?
About Burge?
Yes.
He sounds like an interesting guy in an interesting role. It'd be interesting to know more about somebody like that. What does he do and why do they have him there? I thought the same thing of Ernie Adams. His background, they quoted a lot about the Northwestern article a couple of years ago, and they both just seem to have such unique spots that you would never think existed.
Right.
What is it that they do on a daily basis? Do you guys know them, or are they the consigliere like they talk about Burge?
He is. I mean, I thought it was a very fair article. Burge has a unique job because he's with a unique coach, and it's a tough job. He has to kind of be the go-between for a lot of people that want to get at this guy, and that's not easy because you have to take the brunt of it. And he's also very smart, Burgess. He thinks a couple steps ahead as if he was Bill Belichick. And so he's thinking for Bill a lot. And he does a very, very good job at it. But it's a thankless job.
And it's also unique to this team. There's not a lot of, some of the underlings, as they say, the people that left tried to replicate it when, Josh McDaniels, Eric Mangini.
Right.
But in a lot of organizations, the PR director has more of a direct role with the coach and sits in on meetings and is almost more of a football level type job.
Right.
Whereas in New England, the PR director is more of a business level type job and Berge is the football level coaches meetings. So it's a little bit of a different organizational setup than in most places.
Yep.
And to answer your question, Tim, we all know Berge reasonably well. We interact with him fairly regularly. Nobody really knows Ernie Adams. He's a very mysterious guy behind the scenes. We all know who he is, obviously, and we have spoken with him very infrequently, but he is not in the public eye very often at all.
Even
whereas
players have joked about the guy standing behind us just watching.
Right, yeah,
there were guys
watching punts going on, and they were sort of working out punters, and the punter was saying, I didn't know who the guy was. He was writing everything down, and it was Ernie Adams. So he's a football researcher at the very highest level you could be.
I tell you, one of the times we do get to talk to Ernie and listen to him is when we do the
he's fascinating.
Patriots Hall of Fame voting. And, he's been around the team for a long time. It's not just this
era. He was a member of the coaching staff back in the mid-70s.
Right. And
so he does go back a ways.
Right. So especially when we're talking about veterans like Russ Francis and guys like that, Leon Gray, he knows a lot. And when he's talking, the room is listening because, he comes at it from an area of expertise, and that's when we get to really listen to him, and it's pretty cool.
All right, Fraud. All right.
Tim is gone in Kansas City. He got bored with our answer, I guess.
Because he doesn't like Andy.
When Ernie Adams is talking, you have to shut up.
Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Buongiorno, Fred. You honor me with your presence in the pregame social.
Thank you.
I love your rendition of Alberto's email. I think it's great.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, how do we match with the Salcero, with the Cruz guy, with Bodo Cinco, and ask him to run as fast as he can and block his routes?
I couldn't really understand the question. You're breaking up a little bit there, Olivier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I was asking, how do we stop the Cruz from being effective? Do we put Bodo Cinco next to him and allow Chad to run as fast as he can to make some blocks?
No, there's no way that Chad Ochocinco is playing defense. But
you know I don't speak Spanish.
It's a legitimate question. How do you stop Cruz and who's going to do it? You know, we were talking about that yesterday at Radio Row, and you know, one of the guys said, you know, you can get physical with him, and sometimes that, you know, but, and then another guy said, well, you know, he's from Paterson, New Jersey, you know, you can't get physical with him. I kind of rolled my eyes.
Right.
just how many fights did you get into when you were over there?
As many as I could. I really wanted to go. But, you know, so I don't know if getting physical at the line is the way to stop Victor Cruz. I'm not sure. I just don't know. This guy is a mismatch nightmare for the Patriots. I'll you know, let's face it.
And I think everybody's been throwing Edelman out there. I still get back to, I think that's a mismatch nightmare, because I think that would be the idea. Nightmare. Physical. Yeah. You know, Edelman is a
physical
corner.
Physical him,
but
yeah.
If you miss him,
yeah.
Physical is useless.
Now, what the Patriots have done in the past for a guy like that obviously they can't match up one guy. You know, they walked up Rodney Harrison to the line, let him beat him up a little bit and pass him off, then to the cornerback. By that time, hopefully the timing of the play is blown and you got a better shot. Maybe they'll try that.
But if you,
and maybe it's Patrick Chung that beats him. I don't know.
If you do too much focus there, now Nix is killing him.
Sure.
I mean, that's the problem, is they have four legitimate passing weapons when you talk about Nix, Cruz, Manningham, and then Ballard. If you put too much emphasis on Cruz, then Nix goes 60 because he's just as big play guy.
And I would say both teams would be well served to test the and push the envelope of the refs, see how much they can get away with early. So you're either going to see a lot of flags early, or you're going to set the tone of this game that it's going to be very physical. But we'll see. If I was Bill Belichick, I'd say, early on, you know, push him off. Let's see what happens early. Let's see how the refs are calling this game. And so we have that knowledge early in the game.
Hey, Fred, on another note, I just wanted to let you know I picked up my first edition of your newspaper, and you guys' articles are great.
Thank you.
It was miraculous, and I'm gonna buy a subscription to elaborate literature.
Thank you. 1-800-494-PATS.
Merci, Olivier.
And if you call right now, you get a subscription for the price of one. Two for the price of one.
No, you get one for the price of one.
If you call
right now, we'll give
off.
You a subscription.
And we'll say thank you.
Yeah.
And Carol will send
guys,
it out in the next 3 months.
Guys, I want also to let you talk again. It's been a pleasure to share a battlefield with you. I hope we win. I know that we have a lot of mismatch on the field. I hope that the fact that Bill is all relaxed and wearing some colorful and pink shirts is a sign for greatness for us coming forward. But if it doesn't work out, we'll be there next season. And thanks for everything you've done for Pat Nation.
Thank you, Olivier. Appreciate it.
Olivier, if the Patriots do win, I expect another batch of those Belgian waffles.
Your mom's waffle. Your mom's waffles again.
We are honored to do this for Patriots Nation. Anthony in Toronto writes in at webradio@patriots.com. How do you guys feel about the Patriots' D-line against the Giants' O-line? It's not getting near as close talked about as the Giants' D-line against the Patriots. That's what he just said. Okay. So D-line against the Giants' O-line.
Yes,
not
he
getting
switched it.
Yeah, I can see Love and Wilford getting in the backfield, tackling Bradshaw and Jacobs, and making Manning feel pressure the whole game. The Giants don't have the best O-line around. In two games against the Redskins, that was a main problem for the Giants.
I don't think the Giants are going to run the ball very much.
No, I don't either.
If the Giants run the ball a lot, then the Patriots will win this game.
But I think the Giants' O-line is overrated.
Giants' offensive line is not very good.
With Jason Taylor, oh, they get the better left tackle. What? Do they? Really?
No.
Have you watched any football this year?
The Giants' offensive line has struggled for a lot of the year, and it's been injured most of the year.
And they struggled in the AFC Championship game, but this is where everyone's talking about Eli. Despite that, he didn't throw an interception and threw up 48 passes or whatever it was.
58. That'll change for
58. Okay, I keep getting that wrong. 58
64
passes.
Called passes. Actually, I think it was 65 called passes. He was sacked six times and he ran once.
And he was hit 11 times or something like that?
20.
20? Okay, I'm getting this all wrong. He was hit 20 times, knocked down 11 times,
and sacked six times.
Six times. So you look at that game, and sure, San Francisco has a much better defense than the Patriots, but they got at him. If the Patriots can do half of that,
I don't know. I don't know if that's very, but I don't know if that's good. How much half of that to me? I don't know if that bothers Eli Manning enough.
Well, I mean,
he's not going to throw the ball 65 times, you know. And if he does, the Patriots are going to have a big lead, and we're not going to worry about this.
Yeah, I think you have to cover more than pressure. If your coverage is, if you need a big day from one of the two, big pressure
secondary.
Day, I think the coverage has to step up.
And you look at Peyton Manning in those games that the Patriots won in the playoffs, they didn't do it by rushing him and really going all out. They did it by mixing it up. And
I would expect to see some pressure on Eli because I agree with Andy. I don't think the Giants' offensive line is all that strong. And I expect to see Mark Anderson and Ninkovich and Vince because Vince, I think, has really come on and been a different player over the last couple of games. And I think he's going to continue that. And, you know, whatever else you get from other people to me is gravy in terms of pass rush. Those are the guys that I think Vince can collapse the pocket occasionally, and you can get some pressure from the outside from Anderson and Ninkovich.
And all I can say is if you get close to him, grab him. Don't go for the big hit. Just go, just wrap him up.
Don't let him get
grab
away.
His arm, do whatever. But don't worry about getting the big hit. Just get him in your grasp and don't let go. Chris Joe from Houston, we all know that our defense gives up a lot of yards, but here's a fun fact.
After
we lost to the Giants this year, our defense has only given up 69 points in the 10-game win streak in the second half. That's pretty amazing, and 21 of those points came against the Colts. And I am kind of worried about this game because in 07, I think Brady was the best player on the team, and he had a knee injury and lost to the Giants who got hot at the right time, just like this year. And Brady got hurt next year and was out the whole year. And this year, I believe Gronk is the best player on our team right now, and he has an injury. I hope Patriots don't lose again like last time, and then Gronk gets hurt like Brady in 07, and he's out for the whole year.
Wow. I don't ever want to be called negative again because he's projecting a loss and then Gronk to blow out his knee because his ankle's hurt in the Super Bowl. That's the most negative thing I've ever heard.
Nick and Victoria, will there be any kind of show tomorrow? No, there won't.
Just the game.
Really looking for something informative during the half. I, along with every other man, do not want to watch an old woman run around and scream like a dying cat for 30 minutes. Patriots 27, Giants 17. No, we're not doing a show on the half. I'm sorry. But you're going to have to watch Madonna. So,
I think it's going to be good because I saw that Cirque du Soleil is also involved.
Oh,
that's
really?
Cool.
Oh, really? Oh, now that's good.
That'll be a good visual to get the camera off Madonna.
Madonna hired them to help with the choreography or something like that. Because
anyone who's seen them knows that's one of the more impressive things in the world.
Oh, yeah. I
but, Andy, what if Madonna tries that stuff?
Good. Maybe she'll fall.
Well, she might.
Break a hip.
Didn't Pink do something like that?
Oh,
in one
and
of the
she
awards?
Was good.
Yeah. She was really good.
Really good. Wrapped up in the sheets.
She
and
did that in the Grammys, right?
Yeah, that was really good.
It's excellent.
But Pink is a lot younger than Madonna.
Yes. Well, but but Madonna's still in pretty good shape.
Well, Pan's really on the age today. Freeney was 30 and Madonna is 50. And
Wilmer writes in, he or she thinks that red zone is the key because the Giants are going to get yards. The Patriots need to stay balanced and make no turnovers. And I think it will be 31-28.
And we all know who has the better red zone defense.
Patriots.
They're tied.
Trick question, Fred. Tied for 21st.
What is this keep coming up?
They both stink in the red zone.
Stink?
Well, 21st?
Middling.
21st is middling out of 32 teams?
Yeah, 30. You know, it's 11 each. You're in the second, third.
Canada Chris writes in, it's so cold here in Ottawa that my beer is just sitting outside staying chilled. Canadian beer has a higher percentage of alcohol by volume, so it doesn't really freeze, just like most Canadians. We're well lubed up here, Tom. I think Bill could leave after a win. He strikes me as a man with multiple other interests, lacrosse and his new girlfriend. His children are grown, and he may soon have grandchildren. He'll be 60, has no financial worries. Maybe he could consult with some other teams or even for NFL films. It's sad but understandable.
Thanks for the great coverage from Indy. You've really put the fans in the spirit.
Thank you for reading.
Should we ask him after the game?
You should.
If they win?
Tell me before you ask him, though. Bill, is this it? Calling it quits?
Eric brought up the whole halftime thing with Gronk's ankle. Stripper says, don't you think Bill has figured out how to take care of Gronk's ankle for halftime? Didn't Bill learn something from Freeney's problem?
But what is there to be learned?
Exactly. Bill's not a doctor. He's said that a million times. He's not a medical person.
But even if he were, the only thing that you can do is hope that his injury is not as serious as Freeney's.
Well,
and he's able to withstand the pain a little bit more than Freeney. Oh, that's the only thing you can hope. There's only so much you can do
you
medically.
Might be able to keep him more mobile, do more. But then I think you run the risk of him being dog tired if you literally tried to keep him going and warm throughout the 30 minutes.
Don't you just look at the Freeney situation and saying, physically, it was just too much. It wasn't because they didn't have a good plan.
Well, to some degree, but I think they also underestimated the cooling down process. But again, I don't know if you can if you stay hot, then I think you're going to stay tired. Mm. It's a catch 22.
Todd wants to know any chance they don't shoot Gronk up before the game, let him play until it gets sore, then take him in and shoot it up might be the way to get the most out of him.
That's a theory. I think that's plausible.
Is it? I don't know enough about that.
How long does it take to shoot him up and have it be in effect?
I think it's pretty quick. I think it's pretty.
So they could do it
in
half time.
It's like numbing, like you go to the dentist, right?
You can't shoot it up twice. So that it's not like you can shoot up before the game and then
shoot it up again
at halftime. But that might, if he's healthy enough, that might be a theory. You tape it up, let him play the first half or try to get a first half, then take the tape off, shoot him up, retape it, and go for two.
Yeah. And I think he could play the whole game. I mean, I'm not saying that he can't do that. I just think it all depends on how serious the injury is. This whole thing with Freeney, there's no way of knowing. You know, is it more serious than Freeney, less serious, the same? Who knows?
Let's see. Ross writes in, early last week, I was nervous for this game, almost nauseous. I was so nervous. However, as the game draws nearer, I feel much better. Hell, I'm even confident. Tom throws for 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, and we grind out 150 on the ground thanks to Law Firm and Woody. Eli throws a pick six to Edelman to seal it in the final minutes. Wouldn't that be awesome? Patriots 31, Giants 20. Non-QB MVP candidate is Hernandez.
Yep, I like it.
Thanks for the extra show. Greatly appreciated. So,
you're welcome.
I'm with you on the MVP.
Let's go.
So Eric, let's get all the details down. It's a 22-point win with Hernandez as the MVP. What was the other one you had? We'll explain it. Two interceptions.
We'll get it all out there when it's time.
You've got it all out there already.
Yeah, we'll
you blew your proverbial.
We'll go in order.
Load.
James in Capron, Virginia, formerly of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
Oh.
Has anyone else got the sense that the so-called experts have been treating the Giants' defense like the 85 Bear and 46 and the Giants' offense as the greatest show on turf? They, in turn, have treated the Patriots as if they are just lucky to be there, and the only chance they have at winning is if the Giants don't do something. Yes, I got so sick of it, I've turned the TV off and will not turn it on any sports until 6 p.m. Sunday to hopefully watch the Patriots win another Super Bowl. So there's one fan who is just disgusted.
Wait till 6:29. That's kickoff.
6:29 is kickoff?
That's what they keep saying on ESPN, the scroll, 6:29.
You know what? Did you turn on the TV and happen to notice there's an ABC affiliate that is doing 6 a.m., to 6 p.m., and their whole slogan is everything but the game on locally. Well, you don't have anything then. Everything but the game on ABC.
I like it.
That's their pregame show, basically.
C-Dog writes in, hello, gentlemen of PFW and Andy. I spent yesterday in Indy and had a great NFL experience. Indy has done an awesome job of hosting the Super Bowl so far. Other than a few rude and loud Giants fans, I had a great time. I was able to meet Paul and B-Lo during my visit, which was the topper on the cake, well, other than the surprise downtown sighting and handshake from Gronk. By the way, he does seem to be getting around pretty well. I have two questions. Why does Brady not travel with the team buses when the Patriots go to practice? I didn't know he did or didn't.
I didn't know he did.
Are you like the embedded Patriots fan?
Yeah.
You seem to know more than we do.
Also, who decides where the team stays during their week at the Super Bowl? It just seemed odd that the Giants Hotel is right in the heart of downtown and in the middle of all the noise and distraction while the Patriots were staying further away from the hoopla. That's another interesting thing that I heard this guy from the fan tell me yesterday, is that the Giants are complaining about that it's just too much.
Well,
really, then, Tom Coughlin said, I haven't
Coughlin
heard one complaint.
I'm not moving them.
Well, that maybe this guy is just wrong on everything. But
yeah.
seriously. I mean,
according to Coughlin, Coughlin said exactly the opposite
of
that guy.
He told
said.
Me that they've been dropping passes all year, and he told me that the Giants are complaining because it's just too hectic where they're staying.
Well, he's getting misinformation then.
All right.
Now, is it accurate, Fred, that the NFL determines that,
yes,
right?
Yes,
AFC and NFC
the question,
hotels?
These are picked well in advance.
Like
where,
if Lee Evans had caught the ball, Baltimore would be staying here.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. The teams don't have any say in it. Let's see. I walked by the Giants hotel several times, and it always seemed busy and loud, while the Patriots hotel seemed much more businesslike. Do you think there is a benefit to either team? Thanks for all you do, and thank you, Paul, for stopping and sharing a quick thought on your pick for the big game with me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for not recognizing me or saying hello to Andy.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I was walking right beside Paul, and he goes, oh, hey, Paul Perullo, and he goes and starts talking to him, and I just kept walking.
He ignored me.
He also started to call the others over, but they were too cool because Andy is on the other side of the velvet ropes at all
times. No, he just wanted to wrap his hands around Paul.
He
loved
it. He was a very nice man, and
I enjoyed
meeting him.
Didn't like us.
Nope.
But Andy and Eric couldn't be bothered.
Well, he didn't know who we were.
Didn't call me by name. Yeah. Didn't recognize me.
We're not famous like Paul. We're not the world's gift to
standing
football
right next
like
to
Paul
Perillo.
So Fred
completely ignored us.
So Fred, Eric didn't get an addressed invitation, so he decided to run into the bookstore at IUPUI instead.
Right. If he had recognized me, I would have said hello.
Eric loves the people.
I do.
He's the man of the people.
He likes the people to love him.
Eric only likes people that he deems worthy at his intellectual level.
Paul, if a guy doesn't recognize you, you're just going to jump in and assume that he knows who you are?
I'm Eric Scalvino.
He said, I love what you guys do. Thank you so much. And he was very, very nice man. He was very appreciative of our show.
Didn't say my name.
I don't think I didn't think you needed to be, specifically called.
I think you did.
To come over and do it. Now, he obviously
said, Paul. Oh, I love Paul.
Right. He saw me and he used my name. That's the way it works.
I was standing right next to you. It was on a sidewalk. Not like I was, 10 blocks away.
Wow.
And Andy was a few feet in front of us.
Running.
Let's go to the phone.
Simmer down, LePan.
Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
You ready? How's your heart? Your heart ready?
My heart's fine. I hydrated all week. I got my bananas ready for halftime tomorrow. I'm ready to go.
Nice. Stretch out. Make sure you get stretched first.
You going to shoot up?
I'm definitely going to shoot up. I'm going to shoot up right at the beginning, not at the half, though. I'm going to fight through it.
I hear you, bro.
Stay warm during the 31-minute break. I'll be all set.
Okay.
You can strike a pose with Madonna for half an hour.
Yeah, it's an option.
So what do you got? You going to give us a score, Mr. East Coast Christian?
34-20 Patriots.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
MVP Aaron Hernandez.
Okay, wow. Everyone's on my Hernandez bandwagon.
That's a bit cliche by now.
Yeah, I really like him. Obviously been talking about Bronco all week and Hernandez, but I think Hernandez is really going to be a key in this game. I'm going to move him around a lot.
I agree.
That's my opinion. I hope I'm right.
He might even have a rushing touchdown, Christian.
He may very well, Eric. He may very well. They may put him right in that backfield.
Has any team ever scored 100 in the Super Bowl? I think Eric's got him at 100.
I tell you.
We'll see what happens, but.
No, because that would put the Giants at 78.
I'm ready, and I'm confident. Paul. This team is ready, and Bill has led the way the whole week. You can just see the demeanor, and as a Pats fan, I mean, how can you not? Let's do it, baby.
And then you'll finally be rid of him.
All
right,
Christian, thank you. When Christian and all these Pats fans call in with these scenarios, it just gets me. In my mind, I'm thinking, my God, if only if it was true, 34-20. I swear to God, I would take the shirt off and I'd run through.
Please don't. Please don't.
You already have it halfway unbuttoned anyway. Yeah, it's not like
they're true.
A
they've
surprise.
Seen everything. I mean, they've already seen the cow. They might as well give them all the milk.
On the other hand, if it's the other way around, I don't know what I would do.
You going to hang yourself with the shirt?
Yeah, maybe.
Hey,
something like
we don't
that.
Talk like that.
Let's go to
it's
Steve.
Not going to happen. That's
let's
why.
Go to Steve in Connecticut. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I've been listening to the show for years, right? Never called before. It's first time calling, but I figured I had to call.
Welcome aboard.
Big game going on here, right? So I wrote after Super Bowl 42. I don't know if you remember, but I was watching the game with my daughter, and my wife's a Giants fan, unfortunately. So we've got this tug of war with all of our kids over who they're going to root for. And after Super Bowl 42, I thought, oh no, is this going to make her a Giants fan, right? So, well, here we are 4 years later, and lo and behold, she's rooting for the Giants, right? Mm. My daughter is. So I got a message for the team, man, because I can't have this. I need a win big time.
Right.
So hopefully that will, you know, while she's still in her formative years, she can remember, you know, a Patriots Super Bowl and stuff. So, you know, I'm just trying to keep it simple. Just they have to hear me.
So if the Patriots win, are you going to say to her, who's your daddy?
Yeah, that. Well, I've actually got four kids, and two of them are rooting for the Patriots, and two of them are rooting for the Giants. So,
see, Fred, it's 50-50.
Hey, one other thing was, you know, like I said, I've been listening to it for a long time. I got a subscription earlier this year.
Good.
You know, to hopefully support the cause a little bit. And, you know, I have the paper go to my dad, and I listen, you know, or do use the iPad app. So it works. I love the iPad app.
Well, great.
Nice.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for support.
Right. Thank you, Tony.
Friend. Good luck with your daughter.
Appreciate that, Tony. You know, we don't plug it enough, but the Patriots iPad app is called Patriots Football Daily.
You called him Tony.
Oh, I'm looking at the email. Yeah, Steve in Connecticut.
We really appreciate it, Steve. Yeah. I mean, Tony. I mean, Steve.
Steve in Connecticut. The iPad app is called.
Please hold on. Your call is very important to us.
It's called Patriots Football Daily, and I think a lot of people don't know that because they'll type in New England Patriots, and our normal phone app will work on an iPad. But there is a specific iPad app called Patriots Football Daily, which also includes all the content from PFW.
A great deal.
So that's another way to support us is to subscribe to the Patriots Football Daily iPad app, soon to come for Android tablets as well.
When did we become like NPR? Like people, I just wanted to support the cause.
Well, that's all right.
To keep programming like this alive.
We don't have a tote bag, but we do have an iPad app. So you know, that's a good way to. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the paper, it's 1-800-494-PATS.
And we will be adding Masterpiece to the radio lineup. Yes. In the offseason.
And a children's show.
Tony writes
yeah,
in,
guys.
Tony, who I was looking at before, I've heard this before, Edelman will be the X factor. He returns a punt for a TD and picks off Eli in the fourth quarter as the Patriots win 28-20.
Most popular are Edelman and Hernandez.
I heard the punt thing today on NFL Network. They were talking about special teams. They showed Edelman's punt return against Kansas City and then Woodhead's big return against Baltimore. The one after the one he fumbled, and how they were
the
saying
one after the one.
Well, that was the way they said it. He goes, you know, he bounced right back, showing you again how tough this team is, and he had his you know, a great return that set up the go ahead touchdown, and they were talking about special teams, and I think, you know, Andy's been on this from the start. There'll be something like that. There'll be a return that is a big part of this game, and who knows? Maybe we're talking all this Edelman stuff about defense. Maybe he makes a big play on special teams instead.
Mike Gerken writes in.
Pickle!
Pickle man.
He says, thanks for all the coverage the past 2 weeks. You have single-handedly brought me off the ledge. I will try to keep the story short, but it's a good and a very annoying type of way. My older sister, who was never a football fan, lived in Indianapolis for several years and met Peyton Manning in his third year in the NFL. After that, she claimed to be a huge Colts fan. Obviously, over the years, there's been a lot of back and forth between the two of us, all the way to trying to convince our nephews which team to root for. I won out on both of them, but last year, the ultimate betrayal happened when the older one became a Jets fan because his favorite color is green. Anyway, when all this Manning injury stuff went down, she was obviously sad and I told her that the injuries happen and that you have to root for the name on the front of the jersey, not on the back. She obviously did not listen because by Christmas time, she had amazingly become an Eli fan and Giants fan. Now, for 2 weeks, she keeps calling me and telling me she can't believe both our teams are playing in the Super Bowl and that she was so nervous and all that bull crap. She did not even realize that the two teams had played each other this year already. So, to teach her a lesson that you cannot jump on a bandwagon and get away with it, I need her and the Giants to lose tomorrow. Thanks for letting me rant. I've been pissed the 2 weeks over this crap. Go Pats and win one more for Myra.
So. A lot of love in that family. Yeah.
I never knew this was such a common, like, trying to pull kids in a certain direction within families.
Well, particularly in the New England, New York area, because, you know, if you live in Connecticut, you're on that border between both the tri-state area and New England. And
just let them
a
develop.
A lot of loyalties are divided.
Because,
even
Andy, you know, not everybody's like you and I and didn't really leave the town that we grew up in to find our wives. You know, some people, you know, they actually marry someone who actually was from a different part of the country.
Yeah, true. Now, everybody in the world loves puppies except Paul. And
wow.
You should have seen him. We passed a huge white dog, and he crossed like halfway across the park
now,
to get away from it.
In September.
Fred.
In September.
That, even for you, that was bad. That was just poor to me.
In September on the Jimmy Fallon show, he did a thing where he had a puppy predictors.
and he had a bunch of puppies, all each 32 puppies, all with the logo of a different team, and they had a race to a bowl of food. And the Patriot puppy won.
Did he beat the giant puppy?
All of the other puppies.
Oh, but like, well, who was in second?
This was in September I'm talking about. This happened. So the Patriot puppy won, and so Jimmy Fallon claimed the Patriots would win the Super Bowl. So, of course, now he had the puppy on as a guest. And the puppy sat in the seat and he asked the puppy questions. It was cute.
The puppy must be bigger now.
Yeah, a little bit bigger. But so there you go. The puppy predictor has the Patriots.
I believe
winning.
In the power of the puppy.
And that video is online if you want to. It's the Jimmy Fallon show. Just type in puppy predictor,
breaks,
I'm sure, and you can find it.
Break it.
So I thought that was cute. Let's see.
He's when been in town this week. Have you seen him, Fred?
No, I haven't seen him.
He's taping the show down the street here.
Yeah. Oh, I think Tebow was on it with him.
He was.
Yeah, I saw that.
Donal from Ireland says, all the build-up to the game, I haven't seen too much analysis.
Freddie, he's from Ireland.
On each team's special teams.
I think it's Donal.
I wrote about the Patriots' special teams.
It's not Donal.
But he's from Ireland, so. Fred. What happened?
What about him?
Where's your Irish brogue?
Oh, no, I can't do that. I don't do a good Irish. he hasn't seen a lot of analysis on each team's specials, which could prove a difference in the game. Who do you think has the edge there? I think this year for the Patriots has highlighted the importance of special teams. The kickoff returns have been terrible all year. On the other hand, I think the performance of Mesko has been great, but to my mind, he hasn't got much recognition for that. For anybody looking for a distraction from the Super Bowl tomorrow, the Ireland-Wales rugby match is on at 1500 GMT, Greenwich Mean Time tomorrow in Greenwich Mean Time, and I hopefully should be a good game and can be a good warm-up to the Super Bowl. And P.S., hopefully Fred has brought out his Irish accent. I didn't.
Well, I wrote about the special teams a little bit earlier this week. They think they're close. I talked to Scott O'Brien about Woodhead learning on the fly, and he said even though these young guys have the skills that we want at the position, it's not just the same as running as a running back, and he's learned. And we saw that. It was unfortunate that he fumbled, but he had a couple of those, you know, where he got out to the 40-plus yard line against the Ravens. They think they're ready to be a factor. I know Matthew Slater was all jacked up. He was, like, bouncing off the walls. Like, his eyes were glimmering, ready to go. Mm. And I think if you look at it, the interesting one is the kickers. You know, last time we were in the Super Bowl, Bill chose not to kick with Gostkowski. He doesn't have a lot of game-winning kicks. Whereas Lawrence Tynes got the team to the two Super Bowls with game-winning kicks in the bigger pressure moment
and
you could
get.
And
4 years ago, he had the game-winning kick after missing two game-winning kicks.
So
in that same game,
I don't know if it comes down to a field goal, which you know a lot of Patriots Super Bowls come down to field goals. The Gostkowski angle. How comfortable would you feel with a 47-yard attempt? Time running out. 47 yards, or actually Gil would say, 52 yards, 47 yards it is.
Oh, my God.
And then Zolak was, they want to fight!
He hooked it.
Canadian Mike in Florida says, great news out of Florida. Coach Coughlin has been saying that he is stilling coaching up his team. I don't know what that means.
He is still coaching up his team.
Whispering little reminders in their ears on a constant basis. To me, this sounds like a coach who isn't sure of his team, that they're grasping the nature of the situation. Perhaps he sees what I do, a team that is way overconfident. But on the other note, living down here in Florida, I work with so many Patriots haters, a loss would be tough. I have taken the following 2 days after the Super Bowl off in order to deal with the possible fallout. Hopefully it won't come to that. Luckily, I know a great group of Patriots fans down here so we can cry on each other's shoulders or celebrate with when we win. And, Fred, I agree with the aggressiveness at the beginning of the game, taking chances on defense by grabbing and disrupting the Giants' receivers. I thought about this earlier in the week, and I think we should use the disciplined reputation of the Patriots in our favor or until the refs decide to start making the calls. Anyway, like I said the other day, have fun at the game. And just curious, when we win, will you guys be on the field or do you go straight to the locker room?
Press area.
Yeah, there'll be a press area set up where we go behind the scenes.
Usually a tent or something where there are all the interviews. Players will be at podiums, bigger podiums, small podiums, and they'll be all in
the
area.
It's a mad scene, too.
Well, the post-game locker room is crazy.
There's literally 16, I think. 16?
Yeah, something like
plus
that.
Plus the big, you know, the Belichick will be at a big one.
Yeah. And then they just rotate people through there.
Players just come through.
But we will not be on the field. Fred could be, because I believe he has star access on
Fred
his
Fred has access. I might try to go down and see if I can do something with Channel 7.
Oh, I'm kind of a big deal.
But that will be well after the game.
My boy
after,
Joe Ammo?
Yeah, that'll be well after the you know, the game itself will be off the air by then, because we'll be doing post-game before I can do anything like that.
George in Goffstown, New Hampshire wants to know if you guys are going to be tweeting during the game.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I think, assuming we have some sort of access, yes, I will likely be tweeting from my phone.
Should we have a hashtag that everyone should follow? Maybe PPG, well, or keep it that way, or
PPGS?
PPGS, or
what we've always done.
Pre-game social during the game?
Well, it's just one that everybody always is used
we
to
have
using.
To decide on a hashtag.
Okay. Oh, well, that's probably easiest, too, because it's short.
Right.
So, yeah, PPGS.
So why don't make sure that you guys tweet out today that's what
PPGS.
You'll be doing, so
yeah.
Everyone knows.
Paul and Andy will be pounding it home from the auxiliary presser.
Right, so you want to be following Paul, Eric, and Andy during the game. Hashtag it so that, you know, you can all see what everyone else is saying to them and from them.
You can also hit you up on the curse words blog, as always.
Are you going to do that
curse wording,
Freddy?
Right?
Oh, I will do curse. I'll be banging that out.
Right.
Yo, I'll be banging. Yo, that's just banging.
Yeah. What did you, what? Hey.
Her body was booming.
You came very close there.
I take the T
out.
Came
very close there.
Kind of like Antoine Smith used to say, she.
All right, well, we're getting close. It's about 5-2. So I guess this is as good a time as any.
Gotta hurry.
Picks.
Eric starts.
In a little time to explain them. So should we start with Eric?
No, well,
it's up to you.
We're going to have to skip over the 18 hours of pregame show and get to the kickoff at 6:29.
I wish we could really do that, Paul.
Me too.
I would rather just kick off now.
Me too. Okay, Eric, you're on the spot. Go.
Okay, the final score is not going to necessarily be indicative of how tight this game is going to be. I think they're going to start out first quarter 7-0 Patriots.
Yep.
By halftime, it'll be 14-3.
Okay.
Me.
Giants are going to make it close in the third, so get ready for that. There's going to be a comeback. They'll make their adjustments. They'll bring it to maybe 14-13 before, by the end of the quarter, the Patriots score again to make it 21-13. Fourth quarter is New England's. They score two touchdowns, one late at the end, make it 35-13. Aaron Hernandez, your game MVP, with two touchdowns, 150 yards receiving. Patriots win their fourth Vince Lombardi trophy and celebrate on Tuesday or Wednesday with a parade in Boston.
Has there ever been a co-MVP in the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
A couple times.
Dallas Cowboys had with the defensive players.
Harvey Martin and Randy White, I
believe. Right, I think so.
Yeah. And is the Super Bowl MVP a completely 100% fan vote?
No.
It's media vote.
Oh, it's a media vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
There may be one fan vote. Maybe fans can pull in, and that's one vote.
Yeah, I want to say there's like 15 votes.
Yeah.
And the fans all vote, and whoever wins gets one vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
35-13 Patriots.
All right, 35-13 Patriots. Eric is in the book. Let's go to Andy.
Fred, you know I was torn last week. I'm not torn this week. Even though I think the Giants are a better team because they have a better offense, I think the Patriots are going to be jacked up for this game. I think you're going to see, especially on defense, it won't be perfect. They'll give up yards and points, but I think you're going to see that unit flying to the football. They will force some turnovers. They will bat Eli Manning around, not necessarily sacks, but a couple hits after a whistle, you know, just things that'll kind of get him knocked around, and I think Brady is going to have a phenomenal game. I think it's going to be three-step drops, quick passing. I think Gronk is going to be functional enough, and I think you're going to see both teams put some points on the board after a little bit of a sluggish start. I am going with the Patriots 35, Giants 24. I think it'll probably be a 28-24 game where the Patriots have a nice long drive to end it. Benny will run the clock out. And as Eric said, fourth Lombardi trophy comes home to Foxborough. Tuesday's the parade on the duck boats. And then we'll wait and see.
My heart's already beating. Paul.
Well.
I hope so.
Well. That would really sort of put a damper on winning a fourth title.
Although it would open up a press box seat.
Mr. Positive over here.
This one, as you all know, I've been going back and forth.
Yes, you have.
I really do see both sides. I think this has the potential, Freddie, to be one of the all-time great Super Bowls. I think if it can be a well-played game, these are two very, I think, evenly matched teams. I think their strengths and weaknesses sort of offset each other. So, in other words, the Patriots are going to be able to go against a weak secondary and get things done that way. Conversely, the Giants have the good, strong defensive line that might be able to cause some problems with that. on the other side, all the same stuff is true. The Giants should be able to move the ball against the weak Patriots secondary. I like that kind of thing where it's strength against weakness, weakness against strength on both sides of the ball. I think it's good. I'd be very, very surprised if we see a 22-point game. I would even be surprised if we saw an 11-point game. I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I think that they are playing better than the Giants right now, contrary to some of the national people that have been talking about how hot the Giants are. The Patriots have been playing better over a longer period of time. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think they win 27-24. Oof. I think it's going to be every bit that close. I don't think it's going to be an oh-by-the-way touchdown to get within 27-24. I just think
real nail biter.
It's going to be back and forth. Wins it, I think the Paul? Patriots, I don't know if it'll be a last second. Maybe, you know, maybe the Giants will have the 20, you know, the 24-20 lead.
Right.
And the last touchdown goes to the Patriots. I think that the key is going to be how well that hurry-up offense executes. Because when that's not executing well, you can get some quick three and outs and you get Eli back on the field. That whole thing is worrisome to me, but I don't think the Giants have it.
All right, not to put you guys in the spot.
Patriots are going to do it. And, and Brady's the obvious MVP, but non-Brady, I'm going to go Deion Branch.
Okay.
Hey, I didn't pick an MVP. I'm going Rob Gronkowski.
And Aaron Hernandez for Eric. Matt LePan, why don't you weigh in? Not to put you on the spot, but what do you think?
All right, well, I think, you know, some people
really thought about the matchups.
Some people might think it's a bad omen, but Giants put up 17. But Patriots put up 24. They bring home the Lombardi Trophy. And if I had to go with a non-QB MVP, it would be Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Okay. Ooh. And Kevin, why don't you grab a mic and tell us what you think?
You don't want to hear what I think.
That tells us all we need to know.
I've been sticking to it all week. I was going 31-24 Giants.
And you're sticking with that.
Ooh.
Wow.
Not you guys.
I'm sorry I asked. All right, well,
yeah, why did you ask?
Yeah, I don't know.
Super fan
I just,
over there.
Everybody on the show
against
gets to say.
I just figured I'd give him a shot. Yeah, I got to go with the Patriots in this game. I agree with everything these guys have said. Although, you know, I want to be with Eric with, you know, a 35-13 score. I can't go there. I think this is an evenly matched game. I think the Patriots, you know, hang on. They pull it out at the end. I'm looking at a 29-24 game or something like that.
29?
Yeah.
29?
Yeah, it's very odd. Very odd.
Just
game.
Like the man saying it.
Yeah.
Freddie, we're going to go for two.
Yeah.
Why don't we wrap this up?
You know,
yes, can we get this over with?
I don't think that there's ever been a 29-24 score.
The players are starting to mill around. Get it over with.
And I don't think there has ever been a game like this. So I'm going with the Patriots win. So it's Universe Giants. PFW in progress.
Universe.
5-1. And that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in progress. Thanks all year for joining us. We'll be back next week. Don't worry about that.
And, Tuesday.
After a Patriots win. I can't wait. We'll see you next week.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.